Tonight on The Download, live coverage of the NFL draft with former Chicago Bears Israel Adonijé and Doug Plank. WGN Radio's Adam Hogue and Sam Panjanovic. And Beachwood Reporter's Jim Kaufman. Now, here's your host, a man who's still waiting on a call from either the Browns, Chargers, Eagles, or any other NFL team, Justin Kaufman.
I think there's something wrong with my phone. That might be the problem. I'm just not getting service. I know the Browns were going to call. Darn it. That's why I got my pinstripe suit on. I wanted my Joakim Noah special for tonight. Welcome to The Download. I'm Justin Kaufman here on WGN Radio with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Wow, we're excited to bring you live coverage of the NFL draft right here in Chicago. The Rams are selecting the number one pick as we speak. Roger Goodell up on stage. Jared Goff. There you go. Jared Goff of California. We knew that was coming. Jared Goff, the quarterback, picked with the number one pick from the now Los Angeles Rams. That means Carson Wentz will go next to the Philadelphia Eagles. We got guys down at Drafttown up at Hallis Hall. We'll be joined with analysis experts ranging from players to reporters. Israel Adonijé will be here after 7:30. It's going to be fun celebrating the future of football, and there are a lot of ways the Chicago Bears could go. Will they pick an outside linebacker, Miles Jack from UCLA? Will he drop into the Bears' lap? Or will Clemson defensive end Shaq Lawson be heading north? Or will the Bears opt to draft Notre Dame offensive lineman Ronnie Stanley? A lot of things have changed in the last couple minutes. Ronnie Stanley now projected to go to the Chargers at 3. We'll see if that happens. Or what about Ohio State running back Ezekiel Elliott? If he's still available, do you pick a running back? Pete Zimmerman says yes. He's nodding. There's a lot of great things. It's draft night, so the Bears could shock the world. They could pick someone off the grid. They could trade up. They could trade down, and that's what makes it so special, a special night here in Chicago, and we'll have all the analysis you need here on 720 WGN. Later in the show, DuPage County Board Chairman Dan Cronin will join me to talk about the issues affecting DuPage, especially when the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois are having budget problems, and of course ask the question, when is government too much government? Talk about his movement to reduce the size of government in the state of Illinois. And just this last week, a man was found lying face down in a loop, but nobody came to his aid. What does that say about our society? Our resident philosopher Al Genie will be here, and we'll examine the role of the bystander. And this weekend, it's Bacon Fest. It's Saturday and Sunday at the UIC Forum. We'll talk with organizer Seth Zurer about this year's festival and see what it'll bring and the different ways bacon's being used in 2016. Can you say maple bacon syrup? A perfect idea, right? Perfect. Ah, there we go. All right, news, weather, and traffic with Rob Martier tonight, Esmeralda Leon. Production provided by Pete Zimmerman. I'm Justin Kaufman, and this is The Download, show about Chicago starring those who know it well. NFL draft coverage coming up, but first, let's do the carryout, our nightly segment, where I read the newspaper so you at home, you don't have to. Here are today's top stories. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner got into the fray today. He must have been jealous of the other Speaker of the House. I guess he doesn't like Ted Cruz calling him, quote, Lucifer in the flesh. Something tells me Boehner's been watching too many CW dramas. Lucifer in the flesh. That's dark. Wow. Next week is the Indiana primary, so we here in Chicago are getting a bonus of another round of Trump Cruz bashing on local television and radio. Hey, we loved it so much in March. It's like a mid-season replacement. Bring it back in May. It's like second Christmas. Such great ads. Draft Town is bustling as we speak as the NFL draft is underway. I wonder if Draft Town has the same problems as other towns. What's the property tax situation? Is there a published street cleaning schedule? Wait, does NFL Draft Town have its own NFL team? The third pick in the NFL draft goes to the NFL Draft Drafts. No, nah, I took it too far. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is predicting that artificial intelligence will outperform humans in the next decade. Great. So my job's going to be taken over by talk show robot. Tell me about your film. What do you love about Chicago? Is Jake Arrieta
on steroids. All right, talk show robot, that's your response. My must reboot.
Yep. See, back to the drawing board. Chicago Public Schools say they're going to test 28 different schools for lead in the water.
Eesh.
But you know what? I wouldn't worry too much. Kids love the water. They say it tastes like pizza. Here's a feel-good story for you. The teen birth rate hits an all-time low, under 50% for the first time in forever. How about that? Personally, I blame Snapchat. A University of Washington cheerleader flyer is coming under fire for printing up the specific way you need to look to be a cheerleader. You need a, quote, beachy glow, you got to have your hair down, and you have to have false lashes. I'm interested because I've got all three. False lashes. I've been rocking that for like 12 years. A new study says that lizards may sleep in stages just like us humans. Okay, but are they looking at their lizard smartphones right before they go to bed? Oh, did anyone like my lizard Instagram? No. Guess I'll just use my weird tongue to eat this bug. In weather, just stop. Come on. It's almost May. In sports, Jake Arrieta took to the hill today. He'll get the win, but he only went 5 innings in the blowout victory against the Brewers. Are we at that point where a win is just not enough? 5 innings? He's got to go 8-plus or considered a failure. Arrieta, failure. Also, Miguel Montero hits the DL with back tightness. The White Sox are in Baltimore tonight after sweeping the Blue Jays. Jose Quintana dominated yesterday. The pitching is pushing the Sox forward while the big hitters are slumping. So how about that? There's still an upside. Pretty amazing that both of our squads are killing it in April. Can we end the season now? Like in Madden, like in a video game, just right to the playoffs? That'd be great. The NFL draft is underway, and the Bears should be on the clock within the hour with the 11th pick. There are several thoughts on players who could slip to the 11th pick, but there are some insiders who believe the Bears are going to trade down and still be able to get some impressive game-changing talent. We should know in the next half hour to an hour. If they do keep the 11th, a lot of mock drafts are predicting the Bears choose Clemson defensive end Shaq Lawson. That's going to be tough for nicknames because pretty much all Shaq nicknames are taken. Shaq Attack? No. Baby Shaq? No, it's even taken. Shaq Fu? Come on. I don't know, Shack-a-sack. Shack-a-sack? Shack-a-sack! Call the trademark office. I think we got it. And finally, a teacher in Michigan told the Detroit Free Press that she was fired because she used the word vagina in the classroom. It was during a discussion over painter Georgia O'Keeffe. I think we all know who's at fault here. It's Georgia O'Keeffe. Why do all your flower paintings look like a vagina? Huh? Just one that doesn't. Jeez. That's the carryout for April 28th, 2016. Hey, here's your food. You need some salt? Because I've got like 100 salt packets. Here, take it.
More to come tonight here on The Download. Carson Wentz goes to the Eagles with the number 2 pick. We'll continue our coverage of the NFL draft here in Chicago. Draft Town. I love that. Draft Town. Not for long. We got a great panel here. Stay with us. It's 720 WGN. All right, coming up here, we're going to talk with Israel Adonijé and Jim Kaufman. Adam Hogue is down at Draft Town and the auditorium. We're also going to talk with Sam Panjanovic, who's up at Hallis Hall. Doug Plank's going to call in a little bit later. So we got a great show tonight. 312-981-7200. Who do you want to see the Bears pick here? Text right now. Let us know. Rob, are you excited about Draft Town?
No, man. No. Absolutely. I've got the app.
I thought you said no, man.
Yeah,
no,
wait. Yikes. That did sound like a little N in there.
Totally excited.
Totally excited.
Completely. Ready to roll.
Comprehensively excited.
Yeah, can't wait to see who the Steelers pick.
When do the Steelers pick? They're a little bit later, obviously.
They are a little bit later. They are, standby. Looks like they are, oh boy, they are later. They're 26.
Yeah, right. Which means they're good.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. We should be so fortunate to be picking 25th. Right. We hope to someday pick 25th
someday
again.
We hope to be in the 20s. All right, Joey Bosa goes to the San Diego Chargers with the 3rd pick. There you go.
That's a bit of a surprise.
That's a little bit of a surprise.
Yep.
We'll talk about that after the news. Ooh, Pete, that's some serious music. Some NFL draft music. We like it.
Very nice.
It's really good. not working there? All right, well, Pete will come check it out. We're covering the NFL draft town here in Chicago. The first three picks are in tonight. A surprise, the San Diego Chargers take Joey Bosa, defensive end. Now the Dallas Cowboys are on the clock, and we will find out who they pick with the number four. We're here all night till 9 o'clock, 312-981-7200. In studio with me, my old partner Jim Kaufman from the Kaufman & Kaufman podcast. Good to see you, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
And Israel Adonijé. Izzy Adonijé has played 10 years for the Chicago Bears at defensive end, and now is obviously still in Chicago with the Israel Adonijé Foundation. He's got a big big event tomorrow, Draft Your Style at Saks Fifth Avenue. It's tomorrow from 11 to 5. Israel Adonijé, great to have you
here.
Hey,
thanks for having me on the show, fellas.
Does this bring you back memories? You were actually undrafted.
I was undrafted, but draft day was, it was intense. I remember we were, had two or three teams that were interested and said, hey, late in the draft, they potentially were going to pick us up. And as it went on, they said other needs kind of came up, and we ended up going undrafted and ended up signing with the Cleveland Browns.
Did you do it just like in the what we've seen in reality shows and movies? You get your family together and you're all waiting and the calls come in. How did you celebrate draft day?
I didn't really celebrate. I was in Saline, Michigan, so I was training right up to, when I was going to find out where I was going. So I was in Saline, Michigan. It was just my agent and I really just sitting at his house. And
now, when you got to the sixth round or so, do you sort of start to feel like maybe you'd be okay if you didn't get drafted, because then you're going to be a free agent and you potentially have choices? Or were you feeling like, hey, I want to get drafted?
I was just, for me, it was just about getting on a team. We're such underdogs. I've only played Canadian football, so we were such underdogs. The thing was, like, drafted or not, my goal was to get on a team, learn quickly, and get a practice squad spot, or hopefully make the 53.
Well, this is a big night, obviously, in Chicago. This is crazy to have the NFL draft here in town. I was just remarking on all the jerseys that you see walking on Michigan Avenue. Fans from all over the country. For you, do you get excited that the NFL is here in Chicago?
Yeah, I'll say it's what's exciting is just kind of having the whole brotherhood back together. The guys that I've seen today. The NFL had the Man of the Year luncheon today, and it was, everybody was there, just like, that's like a time capsule. So it was just great seeing all the guys, everybody coming together, everyone texts, hey, I'm in Chicago. What's wrong with the weather?
The Dallas Cowboys selected Ezekiel Elliott, running back from Ohio State, the number four pick.
Midriff.
Izzy, we have to ask you, you're the fashion guru here. Let's talk about what's on the field.
Will that be part of the style event at Saks tomorrow?
Man, no, he should have left that. That will not be at Saks tomorrow. I promise you that.
What's he doing? I guess he's going to grab. We're talking about.
That's exactly what it is. To grab extra attention. But leave it on the field. He's such a talent that was unnecessary. But he's a young kid. He's having fun out there, and enjoy it.
Well, I'll tell you, a guy who I always remember for the way his outfit at the draft was Joakim Noah.
Yeah,
you guys remember
course.
He wore
yeah.
that seersucker suit, and he had his long hair out.
Yeah.
Irreverent look. And I think a lot of people said, oh, geez, this is going to be brutal.
Yeah.
And he turned into one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah.
So, you could bounce back.
Izzy, let's talk about the Bears. Obviously the Chicago Bears, have had some success with the draft. You've seen, it was fun. It was watching ESPN do the best drafts of all time. The number one, they say, of course, was Walter Payton. They talked about Wilbur Marshall getting picked in the 1984 draft. They talked about Richard Dent in that class being one of the best classes ever. Do you pay attention to football in that way as a former player? Do you say, are you a student of the statistics and where people got drafted?
No,
things like
not
that?
Really. I don't watch. Even while I played, I never watched the draft, especially because I was a guy that was, there was always somebody coming for my spot every
You're
year.
Right.
So my focus
didn't want to know.
I was training. At the end of the day, I knew they were going to draft someone high at that defensive line position that was going to threaten for my spot. So I didn't know anything about the person. I came into camp every year, ready to work.
Well, your position, defensive end, you're right. There's always this push in the. It doesn't matter where in the draft, but you're going to stockpile defensive end, defensive linemen. Is it tough as a veteran, especially someone who it may not be a starter who's kept on the team, who's gritted it out? Is this a tough time in April when the team goes, we're going to pick up defensive linemen?
I think you always expect that to happen. Like, we know every year they're going to bring in a lot of fresh young legs, and they're looking for a guy who just clicks and turns on, and it's going to be kind of like a surprise, you know. And you got to kind of just focus on what you do. You know, what really was the difference for me is I played everything on the line. I played in, I played the nose, right. I played the three technique. So I was able to, hey, they bring in a young guy. I was able to shift my position to do something else and really be that swing guy throughout my career.
Did it help you that you played in one system? I mean, Lovie Smith's system was a cover two, and you learn the ins and outs. So you already have a leg up on a rookie who's coming in.
Absolutely. And there is something to be said about being in one place so long and playing that, you know, 4-3, that same gap attack defense for so long. And, guys come in, you got to kind of figure it out quickly in really a short amount of time. And then they got to start cutting people. And the guys who can do more that have that value, you know, they stick.
Izzy Adonijay's in studio. Jim Kaufman's in studio as well from BeachwoodReporter.com. Jim, what are you looking at in this draft? I mean, we've seen the top four. There was a lot of talk. Like, we saw a ton of mock drafts that said Ezekiel Elliott, he may drop to the Bears. He's gone already. Joey Bosa moved up, and they had him pretty much with the Cowboys the entire time, but he goes to the Chargers. Does any of this stuff affect what might happen with the Chicago Bears at 11?
Well, I would say this. Here's what I'm doing this evening in the top 10. What I'm doing is I'm rooting for as many offensive players to go. Because it's funny. I think you and I talked about this in the past. Look, when we as Bears fans, we care about the defense. And when it went south in a hurry a couple years ago where they decided to go in a different direction and forget that. So my rooting interest here at this point in these first 10 picks, more offensive guys leaving, more defensive guys for the Bears to choose from, and then let's go with that. So
you know, I had a question. I mean, it's interesting. Because the Bears obviously are playing a 3-4. There's a premium on outside linebackers and speed.
Yeah.
When we hear that as fans and we keep hearing speed on the edge, what does that mean? I mean, as a player who's played, it's obvious, the general obvious, okay, he's a fast player. But for an outside linebacker, what do you need to know playing in the 3-4?
Well, I mean, it's really, you know, guys who can cover, you know, sideline to sideline, not let the edges get captured. I mean, and you know, you talk about 3-4 being speed. I mean, we always felt like we had that in the defense we played in. I mean, we had a front. And speed is always a fast defense is one that has the guys up front, the big men. You see them hustling and running. And if they're setting that tempo, then you know the linebackers are there. You know that the secondary's there. You know, so having guys across the board that, like, all hats to the ball carrier. And you know, that really sets it, you know. And we'll see.
Well, you know, I have a question for you, and we'll go to a break after this. You know, what, like Jim just said, you know, to watch a defense go south so quick, right? and it was a coaching change, and it was a scheme change a little bit. But I mean, I said this with the Bulls, too, that, you know, they became less of a defensive player without Coach Tibb there, but they were all the same players.
Yeah.
How important is it for the scheme and the coaches when it comes to a defense?
Well, it's important because the defense, you have to be able to utilize the talent you have. I don't care, like, how great the player is. He has tools in his skill set.
So you got to know that, right?
You know, and,
right.
And if you put him in a position that does not mesh with his tools, he's not going to make those plays. Now, the same player, you put him in a situation that allows him to do what he does well every down. I mean,
have you been in situations? I mean, you played 10 years with the Chicago Bears. You played a couple other teams. But have you been in situations where you feel like you have a skill or a tool that the coach is not recognizing or putting you in positions where you're like, I don't catch the ball?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, I've been the drop guy. So I was always got to go, you know, to the drop and drop into the zone and cover in the flat. Listen, I'm like 6 foot six.
You're a lot of things, but maybe not pass coverage.
I want to rush, you know, and I loved rushing over the guard. I felt like I had a mismatch there, you know, with, you know, shorter arms, you know, guards, you know. So, you know, when situations, hey, I want to line over the guard, they're like, no, we're going to put a different play over there. I was like, oh, man. I would love the opportunity. I loved rushing inside as well.
All right. The pick is in for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've got the fifth pick. They're coming up to stage pretty soon. Okay, so let's take a quick break, and we'll check in with Adam Hogue, who's at the Auditorium Theater. He's down in Drafttown. Izzy Adonijay is here. Jim Kaufman. Izzy's got his Draft Your Style event tomorrow at Saks Fifth Avenue here on Michigan Avenue. Tomorrow from 11 to 5. We'll talk more about that before we let you go.
Beautiful.
The Jaguars are coming up to the podium, so why don't we just wait 1 second before we go to break just to hope it's an offensive player. But I think I know who it's
going to
be.
Probably not.
I got to say, I like the beard that you got going.
But yours. Yeah. I only hope to someday even begin to approach the style of the Israel Adonijay beard.
Yeah, we got a brother.
All right, the pick is in. It's Jalen Ramsey, corner from Florida State. We knew that was going to happen. Jacksonville sort of had their sights on on him the whole time. So the top five picks are in. We'll see what happens as the Bears are at 11. It's NFL draft coverage here on WGN Radio. Stay with us. It's NFL draft night in Chicago, down at Draft Town. The draft is going swimmingly, I guess, as we wait for the Bears at number 11. To download here on WGN Radio, I'm Justin Kaufman. This is NFL draft coverage sponsored by the United Association Union of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Technicians. Izzy Adonishay in studio, former Chicago Bear defensive end, defensive lineman, I guess, because you play everything, right?
Exactly.
Played for the Bears for 10 years. Jim Kaufman's also here from BeachwoodReporter.com. Let's bring in Adam Hogue. Adam is down at the theater. Adam Hogue from WGN Sports, you know, of course, covers the Chicago Bears. Adam, are you there?
I'm here, guys.
All right. So what is with the first five picks? I mean, pretty much, you know, that we knew that four of those guys were going to go. What's the
I think this is it's played out a little bit surprising so far, other than the first two picks. Obviously, we knew Jared Goff, Carson Wentz were coming off the board, but the Chargers going with Joey Bosa at number three. I don't know how many people saw that coming. The Ohio State defensive end. You know what I love about what they did here, though? Joey Bosa was productive the moment he stepped on campus at Columbus. Just racked up the sacks, racked up the tackles for loss. The Chargers trusted the tape here. That's what they did. And they get a young guy who's still only 20 years old and a lot of upside. I love that pick. The Cowboys go with Ezekiel Elliott at number four. I think it's just, you know, a lot of people say don't take a running back that early. Boy, Elliott's really good. He's the closest thing to a complete running back that you can have in the draft, and the Cowboys need to go back to running the football, I think. I think they missed DeMarco Murray last year, so I like that pick as well for them. And then, you know, if you're the Jaguars and Jalen Ramsey, the very talented cornerback out of Florida State, he's still sitting there. I don't think the Jaguars ever thought in a million years Ramsey would be there for them. So they just take the best player available, and their defense just got better.
Great too. I watched him play. He was a stud at Florida State. Okay, so Adam, what does it mean? What's it mean for the Chicago Bears? I mean, how is this? How are the first five picks affected what we might see from the Bears at 11?
Well, first and foremost, the guy that I think is the best fit for the Bears in this draft is DeForest Buckner, the defensive end out of Oregon. It fits a position of need. He's so talented. I have him number one on the Bears' big board, and he's still out there. So, that's good right now, but you still have five more picks to get through before the Bears are on the
clock.
And
Baltimore is on the clock right now, and their pick is in, and they had their eyes on Buckner as well.
They do. They also have a big need on their offensive line, however. And one of the most bizarre developments I've ever seen on draft day is unfolding right now. Right before the Los Angeles Rams went on the clock here about 50 minutes ago, a video started going around on Twitter of Laremy Tunsil, allegedly Laremy Tunsil, smoking out of a mask bong.
Wow.
It's amazing. I mean, I've obviously never seen that before on draft day.
Yeah, and you don't know if it, you can't. It's tough on a night like this. You know, no one's looking in. But that they had him early on as being the number one pick before all the quarterbacks were changing. All right. Ronnie Stanley of the Notre Dame.
So, Tunsil falls. Now, Tunsil is falling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Adam? Yeah.
So, Adam, let me ask you that. I mean, if he falls, I mean, this guy is a blue-chip talent. I mean, they had him at one point, you know, projected to be the number one pick overall. Do character issues keep him from, say, a Chicago Bears pick at 11?
Well, here's what I want to know right now, Justin, and we're probably not going to know until teams we get through the night and teams actually start talking, and who knows if they'll even touch the subject. I don't know that they will.
They don't know enough about it, right?
Well, but here's the thing. Do they know? Is this video out? You know, NFL teams, Izzy, you know this.
Yeah.
I mean, they do a ton of work on these
and
guys.
Looking into the guys, yeah. And character is more of an issue these days than it really has ever been. It's a big deal, you know, what a guy's going to do.
Mm. Right. So it's possible teams already maybe know about this video. I'll tell you what they do know about. Another weird thing that happened with Laremy Tunsil throughout this draft process was Robert Kamdiche, his teammate at Ole Miss at the NFL Combine, kind of throwing him under the bus. Kamdiche was in trouble for falling out of a balcony window when he was allegedly smoking pot, and he let it slip at the Combine that Laremy Tunsil was there in the room.
Oh, my God, what?
First of all, that doesn't...
Fascinating, that didn't get any more, play,
yeah,
right, Adam?
Right.
It didn't get as much play as I thought, but it came out. It was
now,
out there, enough for teams certainly doing their homework. So I imagine that no one's really surprised about this video that's come out. However, teams, if they've never seen this before, they got to be scrambling right now to know, okay, when was this video? Where's this video from? When is it from? Was it from last week? Is it from 2 years ago? And I don't know if right now, if you can't find that answer, if I'm an NFL team, I'm going to the next guy on the draft board.
And as an NFL fan, I will say right now, I don't know if I care if Laremy Tunsil is available at the offensive left tackle, who is projected to be number one, is available at 11 because he's an 18-year-old kid who smoked pot. Right. I'll take him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. Oh, I'm sorry, Adam. I was just going to say, I think John Fox cares. And so I think, Adam, what do you think? Is that
absolutely
fair to say?
It's a great point. I think John Fox does care about that stuff. And you know what? Let me give you a football red flag, too. So stuff that's not off the field. It bothers me that Laremy Tunsil never played a full season at Ole Miss. Now, this first 2 years, he had injuries. So that's something to keep in mind. In his third year, he had this issue with the NCAA where he got suspended for 7 games. I don't think teams care as much about that. That's more of a he accepted benefits kind of deal, and it's not the end of the world. But the fact that he played 3 years, he's a 5-star recruit. I think he lived up to the hype in terms of when he was actually on the field and he played. He's a great player. But it bothers me that he's coming out here, and I don't have a full season of tape on him.
Adam Hoge's down at the Auditorium Theater. We'll check back with you in just a bit.
Sounds good.
Adam, thanks for the update on the first 6 picks. Adam there at Draft Town. I want to get back to you, Izzy. Ronnie Stanley, Notre Dame, goes as the number one offensive tackle. You know, we're just having this conversation about Tunsil. The Michigan State kid's still out there.
Conklin.
I want to ask you, what makes a great left tackle? Because you've played against guys, you know, are blue chip kind of players. What is it about a left tackle that can change the game?
Well, I think just a guy who, you know, you can count on to do his job consistently. You know, you can put him on the island regardless of what they throw at him. He's got great feet, great hands, you know, you know, you can just know that – you know, he's a guy that's going to lock down whatever they throw him at the end. And the best guys that do that have strong hands. You know, they punch one hand, two hands.
A lot of that, right? Like mauling. Like he's exactly. Like just constantly getting hit,
yeah,
right?
They just, I mean, they put a hand on you. They, like, grab you and they can't, you know, just it's a wall there on that side. So, you know, having those big guys that just cover a lot of space, you know, they can set back really well to give themselves some space between the quicker ends. You know, those are the guys that you want.
Okay, Izzy, so looking at this board so far, as Jim was hoping, the offensive players are going. So as you heard from Adam Hoge, DeForest Buckner still available. The outside linebackers like Miles Jack or even the defensive end, Shaq Lawson. As a defensive player, are you hoping the Bears go defense with 11?
Absolutely. I think I love, you know, playing in what I consider one of the best defenses in the NFL during that time when we played, defense wins championships. When you have a defense you can count on, and it starts up front. You know, the guys up front set the tone. They're the engine of a dominant defense. So I think I'd love to see them do something that really locks it in, that they don't got to worry about that defensive play. They don't got to worry about stopping the run. You know you're going to dominate at the line of scrimmage all day long.
Do you feel as a former player that the Chicago Bears organization is moving back to that concept of football? Because, you know, they took that sort of Mark Trestman detour where they went offense, offense, offense. Do you think they recognized, you know, that not only just on the play on the field, but what the fans felt, that they want to get back to defensive football in Chicago?
Yeah, I think so. And really, I mean, I look at Fox. He's kind of like an old school kind of throwback type of coach. So, I mean, because of him and just his philosophy, his mentality, he's like one of those guys that represents what football is as a coach. So I think I'm looking forward to seeing what he does this year with this group of men. And I think it's going to be a lot just tougher style of football.
And Vic Fangio in the defensive coordinator. So I really think that is the strength of this coaching staff.
Yeah.
And hopefully they're going to go draft a whole bunch of pieces for those guys.
Speaking of coaching staff, since I got you in the room, any chance you go down to U of I and join Lovie Smith on the...
But I couldn't be any happier for coach.
Oh, it's an awesome thing.
It
is such a... It hadn't even occurred to anybody before it happened because it was so far beyond what anybody could have thought Illinois could have done with that job.
So exciting.
All right. So, I mean... We'll let you go here because you're going to leave here at 8 o'clock, Izzy, and we'll let you know who they pick. But,
yeah, exactly.
You know, for you, I mean...
Feel free to call in.
You never really paid attention to draft night when you were playing. But, you know, this is... You saw the players today. I mean, the days like this, are they like... They remind you of the good times of playing football in Chicago? Do they bring up the memories? You're like, man, I want to get those pads back on.
No, I don't want to get the pads back on. You know, but it was 11 great years. But days like this, weeks like this, definitely, it's a great feeling. And it just, you kind of reminisce about the journey. You know, you think about the group of guys. I was fortunate to play with a core group of guys for so long. And, you know, today, Peanut and I just laughing and catching up on just, and some of the jokes he was telling were jokes that he's been telling for years, but they were still as funny. We all had a good time. We laughed. So those are the moments that you'll remember.
What does it mean for you to have the Israel Adonijay Foundation here in town, to be a prominent member of this town? What's it mean to be a Chicagoan, to stay here and set up shop?
You know, at the end of the day, I wouldn't be where I am without, you know, the city of Chicago, the leaders of Chicago, you know, supporting a young kid. I got here when I was 21 years old. I'm 35 now, and I've been able to have successful business, a successful career. It's what Chicago represents, such a great city. The sports community, the fans, the people love, you know, their athletes and the community itself. So for me, what we're doing with the foundation, it's about just giving back. It's about being a part of that culture and doing what we can with our platform.
Well, there's a fundraiser for the foundation tomorrow. It's Draft Your Style at Saks Fifth Avenue. What is it?
Yeah, it's an event. It's going to be fashion. We're going to have barbers out. We're going to have stylists. You're going to have an artist, music, food, and it's just to get young men out. We're going to help you, you know, just step up your game a little bit in style and fashion, and just expose you to some great things. And women, if you got a guy in your life that's a little sloppy, you need to clean him up a little, bring him on out or come out for him. It's really, we've partnered up with Be Groomed. It's a pop-up for them, partnered with Saks. It's just a great event about fashion, style, and just elevating your game a little bit, and all for a good cause.
Izzy Adonijay, you can check that out tomorrow. Draft Your Style at Saks Fifth Avenue, 11 to 5. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Jim Kaufman's going to stick around. We're going to hit the news. Let me get a break and get the news so we're on time. DeForest Buckner, drafted by the San Francisco 49ers with the 7th pick. That's a surprise. We'll talk to Adam Hoge before we come back. The Bears are going to be on the clock real soon. It's draft coverage here on WGN Radio. Stay with us.
WGN Sports NFL Draft underway at the Auditorium Theater. We will get to the top 8 picks here in just a second. Wow. But let's join WGN's Adam Hoge right now, who is at the Auditorium Theater. Adam, the Bears have traded up.
Yeah, the big news here at the Auditorium Theater is the Bears have traded up to the number 9 pick here. That was a pick held by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Details of the trade are not known yet, but the Bears obviously giving up some of those 9 picks that they have here to move up 2 slots, leapfrog the New York Giants. We do not know. The pick is in. They have not announced it yet, but we will give it to you as soon as it is announced here at the Auditorium Theater.
What's your thought, Adam? I mean, is the thought that Laramie Tunsil's still on the board and they want to go after him, or are they trying to hopscotch the Giants to get to one of those speedy linebackers?
Well, I'm very curious to see who this pick is, because I would have traded up for DeForest Buckner from Oregon, who came off the board at number 7. He's not there anymore. So, you know, the top guy on my big board right now is Miles Jack from UCLA. But with these reports this week about his knee, he was expected to fall out of the top 10 anyway. So have they done their homework on Laramie Tunsil? Do they want Tunsil that bad? Because we do know that the New York Giants are in the market for an offensive tackle. I think they really wanted Jack Conklin, who Tennessee just traded up for and stole from the Giants. So I'm very interested to see what this pick actually is.
It's interesting because as we think about it, and here we come back to the draft, it looks like the pick is in, and we're going to go up to Roger Goodell in just a second here.
He's walking out right now.
You want to bring up we'll bring up the feed. We'll bring up the feed so we can hear him live here. Go ahead.
Nighttime here in the Windy City. A very special award.
Yeah, a
very special person and the award winner and the commissioner.
He's coming to the stage with Connie Payton.
With the Bears on the clock, we want to take this moment to remember one of NFL's greatest men, Chicago's own Hall of Famer, Walter Payton.
Playing with the crowd a little bit.
Walter meant so much to Chicago and to football fans everywhere. And we're honored tonight to have his wife, Connie, with us. Every season, we celebrate Walter's legacy with the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. It stands for excellence in football and community service. Also here tonight is the 2015 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award winner, Anquan Boldin. Thank you, Anquan, for what you and your fellow NFL players do every year to make our communities better. We're proud of all of you. Thank you.
All right, here we go. Well, no, he's walking back.
Mrs. Payton.
All right. Adam Hogue, you still there?
Yeah.
So he's walking off the stage, which is weird. I was ready to get the the pick in, but I guess they just wanted to play to the crowd about Walter Payton a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't really know why Roger Goodell just walked off the stage. I do, however, know the pick.
You do? So
I will scoop the commissioner right now.
Very
right,
nice. Here we go. WGN Radio. What do you got?
The Bears have drafted Leonard Floyd out of Georgia, linebacker, and this is interesting because I wasn't sure that he was worth the number 11 pick. I do know the Giants liked him a lot at number 10, though, so they were obviously worried about the Giants taking them at number 10, and they leapfrogged to get Leonard Floyd.
Wow, so Leonard Floyd, who, you know, it was big on the Bears' board, is now a Chicago Bear. Let's hear the official from Roger Goodell.
Bears selection are the two-time Youth League champion Fosco Park Jr.
Oh, they're really playing this up, like the Chicago hometown stuff. Okay, not every team gets this. All right, here we go.
Congratulations, Coach, to you and your team, and to all the younger players, their coaches, their families, who enjoy participating in flag and tackle youth football. Thank you, guys. So with the ninth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Leonard Floyd, linebacker, Georgia.
Interesting response. There you go. An interesting response there, Adam. What do you think of that?
Yeah, not exactly a huge ovation here. At the Auditorium Theater. Let me tell you, though, I mean, Leonard Floyd did come in at number 10 on my Bears big board that we've been doing here on WGN Radio all month long. He's 6'6", he's 244, so he's got a lot of length and height. The athleticism, the speed, it's all there. The concern here with Leonard Floyd is he's not very heavy. He weighed in at 244. He's not very strong. And in my scouting report that I wrote up, Bears fans are going to hate this, but I mentioned the name Shea McClellan. And the reason I did was...
Egad.
No. the reason why I mentioned his name is just because he has the speed, he has the athleticism, he has all those tools McClellan had, but he's not strong right now. He likes to go around blockers, not through them. He's not strong at the point of attack. He's not great at setting the edge and stopping the run. These are things that he needs to learn how to do and get stronger. Now, here's what I will say. I think he's going to be better than Shea McClellan. I think the upside is much higher. I think he's a better player. And also, and this needs to be taken into account maybe more than anything, the Bears are running the right defense.
Right.
For Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
They were not running the right defense for Shea McClellan when they drafted Shea McClellan out of Boise State. So I think the upside is better here, but I am a little skeptical here, and I am a little surprised that – well, I'm not surprised they traded up for this player if they really loved him that much, because I'm pretty sure the Giants were going to take him at number 10 and he wouldn't have been available.
Yeah,
there.
So interesting.
I'm just a little surprised that they love him this much.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, they had him on the board and they had to do it because they got wind that the Giants were going to go for him. But the move up, everyone was expecting something a little more shocking than Leonard Floyd, the outside linebacker from Georgia. You know what? Thanks, Adam. We'll check back in with you, see what you get from reaction from the Auditorium Theater. Thanks for giving us the scoop, too, buddy.
Absolutely, and one quick note, you're probably going to have to bring in Stan Pantaleonovich in here because Leonard Floyd is not in the building here. He did not come to Chicago for the draft. So the Bears draft pick is not here in Chicago right now.
Wow.
So we will not have access to him here tonight, but he should be doing a conference call up at Halas Hall, and we do have Sam Panionovich out there.
We'll get Sam in a minute. Thanks a lot, Adam. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so let's go back to Rob Martyr because the Bears moved up and rudely interrupted his
not at all.
Sports.
That's big news, man.
That
when
is
it's
big
about
news.
The Bears, that trumps just about everything.
I mean, it's in this town, it's so true.
It's an interesting move because this kid is athletic. I mean, he is fast, but you do wonder about in the NFL if big grinding tackles and guards are just going to run this kid over.
All right, 40.
Exciting night, NFL draft here in Chicago. The Chicago Bears move up from 11 to 9, but they give up a fourth-round pick to do so, a trade with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to select outside linebacker from Georgia, Leonard Floyd.
Yep.
Jim Kaufman's with me, BeachwoodReporter.com. What do you think of the move?
Well, a couple things. First of all, as a Bears fan, hallelujah, they took the a potentially very exciting defensive player. And I want to talk about this guy's ceiling. Jerry Angelo always wanted to talk about the former general manager of the Bears. He always wanted to talk about guys' floor.
Right.
Floors. And that actually was an interesting concept. I hadn't heard about that before Jerry Angelo brought that to Draft Talk. But let's talk about the young man's ceiling. And I think this guy is the potentially most exciting player in this draft. He is that speed, the defensive end. He is that guy who you're going to be looking to get around those tackles, to fly past those tackles. So, you know, you worry about his strength. You worry there's plenty of things to worry about. You know, you certainly don't know where his floor might be.
Well, obviously,
but I think the ceiling is pretty high.
I mean, his speed reminds you of another linebacker that was picked at number 9 in Brian Urlacher. I mean, there's you know, he's a fast defensive player. Does it help that he's playing in a 3-4 and it's not just about pinning ears back and rushing the quarterback? He's going to be in coverage. He's going to be assigned to running backs coming out of the backfield. There's some things in there that will help with the speed that he has at the outside.
Well,
the
that's right.
Outside linebacker.
Yeah, and he's not going to be the guy who has to set the edge, you know, who has to and be strong at the point of attack and turn that running game back in. That's not going to be his role. He is going to be that speed guy coming after the quarterback. And it is fascinating when you look at it. There was a little note on the Twitter feed that I think it was from ESPN. John Fox teams in the past have drafted two defensive end / outside linebackers in the first round with the Panthers and then with the Broncos.
Yeah,
that was Julius Peppers
and
Von Miller. That's right. So,
right, so
there you go.
Doing,
Julius
so.
Peppers, Von Miller.
Well,
and that's all. You know,
we'll take a quick
no
break,
pressure or anything. No pressure.
This was
Leonard Floyd.
This was a shocker in the sense that the Bears jumped up, that they just swapped picks with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they also gave up a fourth rounder. You know, we were talking about the flexibility that the Bears have, but we also, as fans, were salivating at the idea that they may be able to pull 4, 5, 6 rookie starters out of this before up to the fourth round. You know, there's a great history of fourth round stars in the NFL. So giving up a fourth rounder is not like just throwing in change.
Well, and let's remember who last year's fourth rounder was. That was Mr. Jeremy Langford, who we're only hoping is going to be a superstar running back for the Bears going forward. So especially that not getting Ezekiel Elliott, and of course, I think they will take a running back later in the draft.
Now, look at this. This is interesting. The New York Giants, with the 10th pick, pick cornerback, the corner out of Ohio State. What was that kid's name?
Eli Apple.
Apple, right.
Yes.
The apple of my eye. The big apple.
Yep.
And then there's so many nicknames. Oh,
exactly. I think they had to take it because his name is Apple. I mean, come on. Eli Big Apple.
Right.
There it is.
There you go.
Forevermore.
Eli,
it's
Eli
over.
Apple. Eli
no
Eli.
More nicknames.
All right, let's take a break. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. What do you think of the Bears pick? What do you think of the move to trade up to get Georgia outside linebacker Leonard Floyd to give up a fourth-round pick? I mean, this could be a big move. We could be seeing a new superstar linebacker in Chicago. Let's hope so. It's NFL draft coverage of the Chicago Bears and the NFL draft here on WGN Radio. Stay with us.
Stand up and holler.
Oh, we're getting the deep cuts now. 312-981-7200, the number to call. What do you think of the Chicago Bears' move to draft Leonard Floyd, outside linebacker from Georgia? A lot of speed, big guy, but I would say he's bony.
Well, it's fascinating. One thing is, big difference in opinion from Todd McShay and of course the great and glorious best hair of all time, Mel Kiper. Kiper very much echoing our own Adam Hogue in terms of concerns about the guy's strength.
Yep.
And Adam, did you have to say Shay McClellan? Oh my gosh, we're finally getting rid of that guy. But anyway, so Kiper certainly on board with concerns,
McShay.
And that's just the honest assessment. However, Todd McShay, exactly in the opposite direction, feeling as though the guy has all sorts of potential.
Okay, well, one of the things that was mentioned from Adam Hogue is that Leonard Floyd is not at the Auditorium Theater. He didn't come down, which is interesting. Up at Halas Hall is Sam Panionovich. Sam, welcome to the show. What do you think of the pick? And tell us what's the reaction up at Halas Hall.
Well, Justin, I'm standing outside Halas Hall next to the Papa Bear Halas statue. He's actually looking and pointing at me as we speak, so it's a little bit a little bit strange.
It was scary.
Quiet here until about 15 minutes ago. That was when the Bears officially moved up. The first time they've done that in 20 years. They took Walt Harris in 96. That was the last time they made a trade in the first round. So Ryan Pace made a move aggressively to get his guy. They feel that Leonard Floyd, the linebacker from Georgia, is going to be everything they hope for in a pass rusher. I think there are two highlights in this draft, though. Number two is Leonard Floyd not being in Chicago when the draft is in Chicago. And number one is the bong rip, the bong death mask.
Yeah, right.
The bong death mask.
Are you kidding me? I don't know if you've heard the story yet, but an offensive tackle prospect named Laramie Tunsil, there was a video on his social media, and he still hasn't been picked, I don't think.
He was projected to be the number one pick just a couple months ago before all the quarterback trade-ups. And Tunsil still hasn't been picked. The mock drafts, we were just talking about this, the mock drafts have the next team interested in an offensive tackle is the Colts later in the draft at 18.
Yeah.
And, they may pass him up. You've been seeing a huge drop on character. But we talked about this a little bit earlier, Sam, and Adam mentioned it. They knew about the video if he's dropping. They're not dropping because they just saw it 5 seconds ago. The NFL teams have a pretty good squad, and they probably knew about this guy's character long before we did.
I still don't think it helps. Right. I don't think you put that in the strength column for Laramie Tunsil. But no, it's about to get a little bit louder here at Halas Hall. We expect to hear from general manager Ryan Pace. We also expect on a conference call, Leonard Floyd will join the party a little bit later on. So we'll keep you posted on anything crazy. But for now, it looks like the Bears are done in the first round. Leonard Floyd is the guy, so we'll keep you posted.
All right. Thanks, Sam Panionovich, WGN Sports up at Halas Hall. Interesting. So Vernon Hargraves is gone. Who picked him? I missed that because we were talking the same.
That would be your Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers got the guy they wanted.
Well, that's right. The pick they got the Bears.
It must have been the New York Giants.
Oh, it is. I think definitely.
Yeah,
they thought
Floyd.
It was going to be John. And the fact that the Giants were excited about either Conklin or Floyd. Conklin had already gone. You know what I mean? So the Giants had already lost, so they couldn't switch to Conklin, so it was going to be Floyd. I think that was the thinking on the part of the Bears.
It's tough, too, to see that Vernon Hargraves, that guy was a shutdown corner for Florida. Really interesting that he was on the board and he's still on the board because there were a lot of mock drafts that said that would be a nice need for the Bears to have, to invest in a shutdown corner on that defense.
Yes, but remember, he does have the dreaded short arms. So, Vernon, I'm not kidding. That's part of your that's part of your draft report.
All right, so coming up,
we'll
continue. 312-981-7200. We'll hear from Doug Plank a little bit later here and we'll continue. We want to know what you think. Leonard Floyd from Georgia, outside linebacker. Was it worth moving up to lose the fourth round pick? It's the NFL draft coverage here on WGN Radio. Stay with us.
They're the monsters of the Midwest, rolling across the USA.
I might let this one play a little bit.
They're the monsters of the Midwest. The monsters have come to play.
There you go. It's the NFL draft coverage here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Jim Kaufman. Kaufman and Kaufman. Bringing you a little bit of analysis and breakdown of the Bears' surprising move to move up in the draft from the 11th pick to the 9th. Gave up a fourth rounder to swap those picks.
First time in 20 years.
First time to pick Georgia outside linebacker Leonard Floyd.
There he is, Leonard Floyd. Well, I will say this. The story of the draft so far, the fall of Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil is he's off the cliff. He's halfway down or maybe down, who knows. But he continues to fall. I will say, however, that right now the Dolphins are on the clock, and then is the Oakland Raiders. And I'll tell you this. Back in the day, back when Al Davis was in charge, you know the Raiders would have been taking this Tunsil guy, and they'd have been celebrating every which way.
Jim, at what point do you say, if you're an NFL team, especially a team that, you know, may already be on their way to the playoffs, you start to get to the late teens, the 20s, that they'll take a flyer on a guy who was a projected number one because of a character issue?
Well, I will just say that this, I believe, these are the places where you get the advantage. Everybody in the league is scouting everything. There's so much common knowledge, etc. So a guy like this, acknowledged as a total stud, as a potential, you know, great offensive tackle, blindside tackle for 10 years, falls like this because of character issues. But he's, you know, he has the talent. So you certainly worry about that. Although we're talking about pot here. It's a different sort
it's also,
of
it's
drug.
It's more than just you know, a picture of or a video of smoking pot. It's on his account.
Exactly.
So you have to ask the character the judgment of why you would
judgment,
do that.
Exactly.
That's a pretty crazy thing. The pick is in for the Dolphins. The Dolphins with the 13th pick select. Let's see what it looks like they did it. Laremy Tunsil is off the board.
Oh, look at that. Well,
let's see. The Miami Dolphins said, you know what? It's Florida, South Beach. You know what?
That's right.
It's like ballers here. Laremy Tunsil, offensive tackle from Ole Miss, who was projected at one point to be the number one pick, fell all the way to 14 because of character issues, some video of him smoking pot. So that story has ended.
It's come to an end. There it was. Well, it was a heck of a story while it lasted.
What I like, and I want to bring our next guest in, but what I like still out there, if you're a team in the second half of the first draft, you've got Miles Jack, who has a probable knee injury, but he's still on the board. Shaq Lawson from Clemson, a defensive end that many thought that the Bears would grab up at number 11, still on the board. And a lot of other, you know, sort of players that at one time or another sort of flirted around the being a top 10 pick. So it's not a bad first round for any of the players or the teams that are still left.
Yeah, they, very much so. There's still some very intriguing stories. Miles Jack is a guy that there's information has just emerged in the last couple of days about additional concerns about a knee injury. So we'll see. He becomes the new guy who we'll see how far he falls. So.
All right, joining me on the line, good old number 46 from the Chicago Bears, one of the best Chicago Bears of all time, safety Doug Plank. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on the show.
You got to like the fact that they went with Leonard Floyd, a linebacker, because it's defense.
Yes. You know, I did a couple games last year for a national network, and that was one thing that they came across very soon and quick in the game, that they really had a lack of control of the line of scrimmage. And so, you know, by them choosing someone on defense, I totally understand it. And some of my friends that are Chicago Bears said, why did they take this guy? He's underweight. He's, you know, he might be tall. But, you know, you start thinking about the Super Bowl and the success the Broncos had with those guys coming off the edge and really beating those one-on-one matchups. I think that's where most defenses in the National Football League are going.
Now, for you, I mean, we talked about this just a couple weeks ago. You know, you were an undersized guy. I mean, you learned how to play with your body. How does a guy like Leonard Floyd, who is undersized, use that to his advantage?
Well, I think, number one, we don't really know what kind of attitude he is. I mean, when you're going through a football career, there's two major transitions a football player goes through. When he goes from high school to college, which is a huge transition, but I'm telling you, even greater is when you go from college to professional football, because now all of a sudden you're playing against guys that this is their occupation. It isn't just a pastime. And everything that you do is so much more intense and scrutinized. The mistakes that you make, but more importantly, you have to give yourself a chance. And I think in the case of Leonard Floyd, I think he's got tremendous variables. When you look at his 40 time, 4.6, that's incredible for a defensive lineman. 40-inch vertical, you know, I've heard 6'5", 6'6", height. I mean, he's got all the variables, but he needs strength. So it's going to be a lot of this is going to be up to him, how much commitment he's willing to make as far as making himself stronger.
That sounds great. Doug, first of all, Jim Kaufman weighing in, and a former very sizable fan, the whole Kaufman family. What great fun it was watching you play and be the consummate Chicago Bear defender. So here we are. I think part of our reason for love of defense with the Bears is the great work you did during your tenure. I will say one perhaps exciting thing about this for defensive backs, I would think this is just the sort of guy who's going to put the pressure on the quarterback, cause him to heave the ball up into the air, and hopefully interceptions will follow. So perhaps that's another way of looking at this. Yeah,
Jim, you know what? You know, really, my skill as a defensive back was totally dependent on Dan Hampton, Steve McMichael, all those guys. I'm serious. If those guys were terrible defensive pass rushers, then I was going to be a terrible defensive back, because if you're in the secondary, everything breaks down after 5 seconds. Everything has a course to it. The ball gets delivered. You break on the ball. After 5 seconds, though, and if you're not getting a quarterback down, then the huge advantage swings to the offense. So that's why I think every team has to focus, number one, whether they have a good offense or a good defense. It's on the line of scrimmage. Those guys just are not given enough credit for what they do. Every interception I ever got in the National Football League was a result of somebody on the line of scrimmage pressuring the quarterback and making him hurry or make a bad throw. So, you know, I think I love the fact that they're focusing on defense. You know, I think he needs a little bit more weight underneath him. Mm-hmm. You know, I also did the game last year when the Redskins came to play and they owned the line of scrimmage. They controlled the running game. You know, those are the kind of things that, you know, the Chicago Bear defense for years is just known as dominating, and that's what they got to get back to.
So for this kid, and we had Izzy Adonijay in here, and he talked a little bit about, you know, what coaches have to do to motivate and what they have to do to sort of understand and identify the skills that a player might have, put them in the right position to win. We mentioned Shea McClellan here, who, you know, was a 3-4 outside linebacker who we brought in to play a 4-3. Yes. In this case, this is a kid who came out of an 3-4 system. He's an outside linebacker. In a Vic Fangio system, do we see the situation where the coaches are going to know how to utilize him in this defense?
You know, there's a great philosophy difference. Having coached for 12 years in the National Football League and the NCAA, sometimes the theory is, do you make a player fit your mold and your scheme, or do you allow him to do his thing and then try to form a defense around that? I think in this case with Floyd, he is so athletic. You know, this whole thing about defense, smash mouth, we want to run over people. Well, if you watch Floyd play, he runs around blockers. You know, he is so quick with long range. You know, so whoever's coaching this kid, they have to give him some leeway, some freedom to be able to take advantage of the great things that he can do on defense. So, you know, I just feel like, you know, certainly I know the coaches are in charge of everything, but I think sometimes you got to look at players and say, hey, this kid is special and we got to give him some opportunities to get to the quarterback.
That is the eternal conflict, isn't it? Whether or not it's that
yes,
you have so much trust in your system that you push the system, or if you say, wait a minute, this guy is so talented that, and it sounds like this guy is so talented that this is one of those guys where maybe you have to make it work for him rather than making the guy fit in the system.
You know, in certain times, you know, they even give up weakness. You know, some players, not many in the National Football League, are so good that they can go in the wrong direction with that initial first or second step. They are so quick. They are so fast. They can get back and cover an area. And that's what this kid looks like. You know, I just remember watching, you know, Clemson play a little bit. And, you know, it's just, the incredible quickness and the edge that he had. Now, he doesn't have great pop, you know, which some people expect, where you're blowing people up. But, you know, he can do so many other things to put pressure on the quarterback, which is really where defense starts.
Doug Plank, one of the all-time greats of the Chicago Bears, safety number 46. Thanks for checking in tonight to give us your assessment of a defensive Chicago Bear football player. Thank you.
Yeah, really, you know what? I just want Chicago Bears to get back to what they were reputation-wise. Having coached the National Football League, it's unbelievable how much teams respect the Bears, you know, just because of their historical nature. And I just love to see the Bears get back to that level.
Us too. Us too.
Hear,
hear.
Thanks, Doug. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Getting all the oboes in.
Good. Very nice.
It's the NFL draft coverage here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Jim Kaufman from BeachwoodReporter.com. No relation. C&K.
Yeah, we Kaufman can't, and Kaufman. We just that's can't good. Agree on the spelling, but that's it's perfect for radio.
Let's go back out to the Auditorium Theater, bring in Adam Hoge. Adam from WGN Radio. A surprising pick for the Oakland Raiders, bringing the safety Carl Joseph in. But so far, I mean, Laremy Tunsil was a big story, and he's off the board.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil comes off the board to a Bears old friend, Adam Gase, at number 13, now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Wow. Gase, of course, the Bears offensive coordinator last year. So it's interesting, this whole Tunsil thing. I mean, credit to Laremy Tunsil, who right away did an interview with Deion Sanders here on stage that I could hear. And I was very upfront about the whole thing. Said it was the whole video was a mistake. And for those that missed it, a video surfaced like right before the draft started tonight on Laremy Tunsil's own Twitter account of him smoking out of a mask bong. I'm not making that up. That really happened. It's so bizarre that it happened
on his account. That's
but
the problem.
His account.
And he's not saying he was hacked.
His own Twitter.
He's
account.
Saying he put it.
Well,
up.
Well, no, he is saying he got hacked. Which, for the first time in the old hacked excuse, the history of the old hacked excuse, I believe it.
There you
because
go.
Because why in the world would he post a video of him smoking out of a mask ball right before the draft starting? Now there was Deion asked him directly if his stepfather did it, because there's some history here with his stepfather. It has to do with the impermissible benefits that he got in trouble with the NCAA and his whole suspension. There's a lot here. But he said he didn't know who did it. Maybe it was his stepfather. Maybe it wasn't. Anyway, he took accountability for it, said it was a mistake, and the Dolphins are willing to take a chance on him.
Wow. So right now this looks to be the Cleveland Browns, correct? The Cleveland Browns getting their picks in after they traded away.
Are they finally going to pick somebody?
It's Corey Coleman from Baylor, the wide receiver, who the Bears showed a little interest in.
So how's the reaction been to the Bears moving up? You know, one of the big moves in this draft on draft day was the Bears moving from 11 to 9. What's the reaction been from the press row, from the fans, things like that?
Yeah, you know, in terms of in the building, it was very quiet. We kind of heard that earlier when we had the pick live on air. And I think a lot of Bears fans were caught off guard. And the reaction I'm getting on social media and on Twitter, maybe mostly negative if I'm being honest. I would say that the honeymoon is over for Ryan Pace, which we kind of know. You're 1 year into the NFL as a general manager, and usually the nostalgia wears off a little bit, and I think that this pick probably does it. Here's some things, though, that I think you got to like about Leonard Floyd's game. He had 17 sacks, 28 and a half tackles for loss in college, very productive, even though they lined him up a lot inside as a middle linebacker at times. So he can play all over the field. I actually just tweeted out, you can find it at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, a video of him against Missouri, just blowing by the right tackle with a spin move. So there's a lot to like here. I think the big question is, can he hold up physically at the NFL level? I think he needs to add some strength, add some weight, which we talked about earlier. And, you know, guys, I can't say I'm in love with the pick, but I'm intrigued. I love the speed. I love the athleticism. When I talked to John Fox in Florida last month at the NFL owners' meetings, he made it clear. The Bears need to add speed on defense. That was their number one priority coming into tonight, and they accomplished that.
Well, let me ask you real quick. You know, it seems like we were just talking about it, that the fact that the Bears are doing a lot with the linebacker position, free agency, the last big free agent moves this year and last year with Pernell McPhee, this draft, it seems like they're giving Vic Fangio what he needs to run his defense in Chicago.
No question. And I was so impressed last year with Vic Fangio because the defense took a big step forward, and that was with not a whole lot of playmakers. I mean, if you go back and watch the season, there weren't takeaways being forced, which has been a problem now for about 2.5 seasons. You gotta take the ball away, and to do that, you have to force teams into making mistakes with speed. You have to get after the quarterback. You have to surprise ball carriers and strip the ball. And they just didn't have those type of playmakers on defense last year. So that's what they're trying to do here. You know, I don't know that they added any quote-unquote playmakers in free agency. I think they added a lot of solid players like Danny Trevathan, Drell Freeman, Akeem Hicks, guys like that. But really, I think you got to go to the draft to find your next wave of young players. And I think that the Bears like their outside linebackers right now. You saw Pernell McPhee last year, impressive even though he wasn't completely healthy. Lamar Houston and Willie Young came on very strong late in the season. They just were not healthy early in the year coming off injuries. And so I think they like their depth now at this position by adding Leonard Floyd. They had to add youth, though, because those guys are all older veterans. And Floyd brings youth. I also still wonder, and this is just me, I haven't heard anything about this, but I and I've talked about it before. I just wonder if there's a team out there, maybe a 4-3 team, that would like Willie Young. And with maybe the Bears now, after drafting Floyd, would be willing to make that trade if there is a market for him, which I don't know.
Well, and I would think, Adam, Jim here, I would think one question now starting to look towards that second round, and perhaps the hope, or perhaps less the question, and the hope is that there is the feeling that there's more defensive depth in this draft, and so we talk. You talk about the guys that they've brought on as free agents. I think those are guys that they're looking for to be solid guys to occupy opposing blockers, et cetera, so that other guys can make the big plays. Perhaps that's what they're looking for with Leonard Floyd. Is there a guy you start to look at or start to think about in the second round?
I have to reconvene a little bit here, but Shaq Lawson has still not been taken here, and neither has Kevin Dodd, who I both these are Clemson teammates, and I actually like Dodd a little bit more than Shaq Lawson. So these guys are still on the board here. I don't know if they're going to slip all the way out of the first round, and the Bears are drafting eighth in the second round, I believe. So I don't know if those guys are going to fall that much. I do wonder here, though. I mean, you start giving up a lot when you trade up twice. But if these guys slip even further, tonight's not necessarily over for the Bears tonight. You could trade back up into the first round and still grab one of these other guys if you're in love with them.
Yeah, right. If Shaq Lawson's still available. All right, so we'll let you go because we want to hit to the news here. But we'll pay attention, Adam, and check back in with you to see if anything happens with the Bears thinking about grabbing some of these players who are still on the board. Adam Hoge at the Auditorium Theater at the Draft Town for WGN Radio Sports. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
It's a download here on WGN Radio, doing some NFL draft coverage tonight. Chicago is abuzz with the first round of the NFL Draft 2016. The Bears move up from their 11th pick to the 9th. To secure Leonard Floyd, a linebacker out of Georgia. Leonard Floyd, it was an interesting time. It was a shock only for the fact that, that he wasn't what the fans necessarily were clamoring for. And to move up and use a fourth-round pick for that trade with Tampa to get him in Chicago seems peculiar. But you know what? He's got a lot of upside, speed out the wazoo. I mean, this is the kind of stuff where you talk about athletes, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that they can do something special, right, Jim Kaufman?
Well, and again, you try to have faith in the guys running the team and what their expertise is. And goodness, it sure does make a lot of sense. Well, you got to take some confidence away. John Fox, Vic Fangio, taking a look at this guy and deciding that he's a potential difference maker. And
that's what we missed. I mean, the defensive side of the ball was competent. I'll give it that. This last season, they were vicious at times. But what they lacked was that big turnover, that sort of Brian Urlacher pizzazz that the Bears used to have, where they could bring one back to the house like that.
Yep.
Having a outside linebacker who's fast, who can get to the quarterback, that can disrupt plays, get into the backfield, it may mean good things for a Bears secondary that was almost turnover deficient.
Well, and that's something Doug Plank talked about with us earlier. It is, people forget about that everything that happens in football, especially on defense, is interrelated. That it's amazing how much better the secondary is if you can get a pass rush going. There is also the element of the copycat league. The NFL is the copycat league. And, of course, we all just watched the Broncos win the Super Bowl using speed on defense. Von Miller wreaking havoc. It's also amazing how bad quarterbacks are when they're worried they're about to get hit by some speed rusher flying in. And there is tape out there. I'll tell you, there's video out there of Mr. Floyd making some amazing plays.
I like that.
Getting getting from here to there in a split second to blow-up plays.
I'm a big fan of a defensive player. I think of Brian Urlacher. I also think of Devin Hester, where there was video in college where you were like, well, I can't believe the things he did. You know, it's fun when you go for that athleticism, when you go for a player in the first round that isn't just going to be a great defensive player or has the pedigree from playing at a big college, but has something that a lot of other players don't, some intangible.
I'll say also that it sure seems as though there's a lot of consensus of opinion that the Giants were ready to take this guy with the 10th pick. That the Giants, there were two players they were interested in at that 10th pick. One had already gone, the kid Conklin, the offensive
Michigan
tackle.
State, yeah.
And so I really do think that and looking at the various the reactions to the pick, there's near consensus that the Giants were going to take him if the Bears didn't make this move. So the Bears get aggressive, first time in 20 years, we've mentioned before, but first time in 20 years, they move up to take a pick. I worry a little that maybe Ryan Pace felt a little pressure to do that, that he was feeling as though he needed to make a splash this year, and you certainly don't want to see something like that occurring. However, I think this was the guy they targeted, and they went and did what they had to do to get him.
Well, it's interesting to watch the players that were picked around in the first 19 picks. We haven't seen Miles Jack. We haven't seen Shaq Lawson, who was a Clemson defensive end that many had going in the top 10. So it is interesting that there has been a run on all the offensive linemen, and we saw the center from Alabama just get picked by the Colts. We saw the Lions pick up the Ohio State tackle. There's been a couple safeties and corners that have been picked in the draft. So it is interesting as the Bears get ready for a second round tomorrow, which they have an early pick. They have the 8th pick. A lot of those defensive linemen and defensive linebackers are still in play. Now, there's still a lot of picks to go. We still got the big playoff teams are coming up, the 10 picks at the back of the first round. But surprising so far that we haven't seen some of the names that have been thrown around. Up there goes Shaq Lawson. There you go. See?
Well, there it is.
Shaq
exactly.
Lawson gets picked in the 19th pick in the first round by the Buffalo Bills.
How about that?
There you go.
Well, and that's Rex Ryan getting the best defensive player available. So I do think there has been a feeling that there is depth in this draft beyond the big names that we see in the mock drafts in the first round, et cetera. There is depth in this draft on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that is one hope, is that they can pick up that strong defensive end presence that it seems pretty clear they're going to need. Perhaps Will Sutton or Ego Ferguson are going to step up in that defensive end spot next to Eddie Goldman in the middle, and Hakeem Nicks, the free agent pickup on the other side. But it seems more likely that they're going to go get somebody. And I hope there has been a feeling that there's depth in the draft, in the larger draft, at that position.
You know, I mean, that's the only unsettled spot of the sort of front seven, because they went after free agents for linebackers. Trevathan comes from Denver. Freeman comes from the Colts. He got the draft pick they just had with Floyd. Pernell McPhee's already there.
From last year.
So the question is, that's a whole sort of one of the defensive end positions, but also the secondary. I mean, the secondary has two safeties. You know, Amos did good, a fifth-round rookie, but I mean, the stat line, we talked about this at the end of the season, the stat line on him was remarkable on the fact of zero turnovers. For a safety in his position, you need to be forcing fumbles. You need to be making interceptions. This
exactly.
guy did not do that.
Well, and that was, I think he was playing it carefully as a first-year guy, and perhaps next year. And I will say also, he was playing next to Antrell Roll, who it felt as though was getting towards the end of his run.
He's still on the squad.
And then he got hurt as well, and that's right. And I do think safety has to be a priority in the second or third round. Whether or not, and that's where you start to perhaps regret a little bit giving up that fourth round pick. Although they did, the other thing is Amos was drafted in the fifth round. So
right. So
perhaps there's some confidence there's talent to be had later in the draft.
All right. Well, let's take a break, because coming up, we're going to talk with Sam Panjanovich. He was there for the conference call that just came in for Leonard Floyd, who's not in Chicago, which
we're
is surprising
to
me.
We're really struggling to understand that.
I mean, only because the draft is here. So, I mean, and Leonard Floyd, and maybe he has a family issue or something of that nature, but, you know, I mean, it is tough to think, you know. I mean, this is where you should be. Obviously, you're going to be a first-round pick. So we'll find out why Leonard Floyd wasn't in Chicago, and we'll also talk to Sam, who's going to catch up with GM Ryan Pace up at Hallis Hall. We're talking NFL draft. We're at the 20th pick. The Jets are on the clock. We'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll check in with Hallis Hall and the Bears brass here on WGN Radio. Stay with us.
That's how we roll.
The Bears are gonna rock this house.
Beats by Zim. He's got it. Pete Zimmerman. It's Justin Coffin. It's the Downloads. WGN 720. Jim Coffin's in studio with me. Sports columnist for BeachwoodReporter.com. We're talking Bears. Obviously, with the NFL draft tonight, the pick is in on the 20th pick, which is the Jets, the New York Jets. So we'll see what they do. Paxton Lynch is a name that's interesting. They're showing a lot of highlights, a Memphis quarterback. It brings to the question about quarterback. There have been, GM Ryan Pace talked about that there are some quarterbacks in this draft, and there may be something that the Bears do with quarterback to eventually replace Jay Cutler.
Well, yeah, we'll see how that goes. That's another thing where losing that fourth round pick might come into play. One guy I had my eye on a little bit, it's very funny, the quarterback Kevin Hogan from Stanford last year came to town at the start of the college football season and totally laid an egg against Northwestern. In the first game of the season, the Stanford offense was awful. And remarkably enough, they then turned around and had this glorious season for the rest of the way. Now, they discovered the McCaffrey kid, who probably should have gotten the Heisman. Nobody could have predicted how good he would be. Nevertheless, Hogan is fascinating. I think the Bears have, and again, you want to take the best possible guy, but they've got needs. They've still got significant needs. I don't think I got to figure they don't go quarterback till the fifth round, sixth round, and then you're talking about
Hogan
long,
is
long
interesting.
Shots.
I mean, he's an interesting guy. I mean, there's a pedigree there. Obviously, Andrew Luck came out of Stanford. He plays in the system. He was well touted, and there was even at the beginning, you're right, before that Northwestern game, they were talking Heisman with him, and they were talking, predicting that he would be a lottery pick for the NFL. But that didn't work out that way.
It did not, but he still had quite a year, and so that was a guy I had my eye on. However, like I said, I would be stunned, maybe not stunned, I would be surprised if they took a quarterback in the second or third round, especially without having a pick in the fourth. I think they're going to take a flyer on somebody in the fifth or the sixth. Yeah. So,
Darren Lee, outside linebacker from Ohio State. Ohio State, that's the pick for
that's
the,
about what, the fifth player from Ohio State?
Yeah, it seems like the Ohio State
Ohio State draft.
Doing well. But they that's the 20th pick with the Jets. Darren Lee, an outside linebacker who was a second-team All-American, All-Big Ten player. Which, we talked about, now here come the run on some of the teams that either just missed the playoffs, and here come the playoff teams, and you're going to see best players available in a lot of these situations, and they're going to be the defensive players who were skipped over at the beginning. I'm still surprised, Miles Jack.
He is. Well, and I think everybody's scared to death.
Gotta be the knee, yeah.
So, I mean, look, the tweet went out this week, might need microfracture surgery for down the line, whatever. That's the worst thing you could hear about a football player to a certain extent, might need microfracture. It's still questionable whether that really works often enough to be something that athletes should undergo. The jury's still way out on whether Jadeveon Clowney, I think, the defensive end for the Texans, had that procedure done. He has not come all the way back. I don't think he's close to as good as he was.
Projected to be. Yeah.
Well, exactly. But that's a huge question mark with Miles Jack. That latest health report had to have had a large impact.
Let's bring it back to Chicago, the Bears team. We were talking about what's left. We Entrell Roll, Adrian Amos, but we didn't talk about the corners. Tracy Porter had a huge year last year, kind of a rebound year in spurts, meaning we saw him play well against the Packers on Thanksgiving night. On the other side of the ball, Kyle Fuller, a guy who was drafted in the first round,
indeed,
who everybody was hot on, and he's had sort of a middling career with the Chicago Bears. So
well, far. I would say Fuller was better last year. However, he could not hardly have been worse. By certain measures, he was one of the worst cornerbacks in football the season before last. So, but there was significant improvement there. I do think the Bears, while if you can get a cornerback in the league, you're always going to go get one. You always take more depth. The far more snaps these days than even 5 years ago, where the team is in the nickel. You've got your five defensive backs in the game on virtually every snap. So, I think there's a good chance that in that second or third round, one of those picks will be a defensive back. Either a cornerback or a safety.
Let's switch to the offensive side of the ball.
They play offense don't they?
Well, one of the interesting things about last season was Jay Cutler had a resurgence under Adam Gase, who's now in Miami as the head coach. But it was a ball control Jay Cutler, not the Jay Cutler we're used to, where he was gunslinging and throwing the ball around or not seeing the linebacker in the flat, which was my favorite Jay Cutler move where you like you just threw it right at his chest. That's a Jay Cutler go-to. But he, you know, all everybody, pundits across, Jay Cutler played a great season. He managed the game. We saw a different kind of quarterback. This is the quarterback we want. But at the end of the day, they were still 6-10. Do we see the Chicago Bears excelling in this? Are we seeing the new Chicago Bears with a team that manages the game, and then on the defensive side of the game, we have Leonard Floyd flying all over the ball?
Well, one thing that was so funny last year is the new regime came in, it took over the Bears, and there was that statement, yes, that's the sort of team it's going to be, that this is going to be a more defense-oriented team, or the offense isn't going to lose. We're going to find ways for the offense to not lose games. Then what happens in the draft? The first-round pick is Kevin White. Now, I think everybody agreed that he was value at that pick. He was the most talented guy at that seventh pick. But still, wait a minute. If you're making this change to defense and conservative offense, what are you doing taking a wide receiver with your first pick, the first-round pick? Then, of course, he gets hurt. So we still know what's going to happen with him.
It's like another first-round pick, right?
That's exactly right. But that is. So I think that's why, perhaps, there isn't as much pressure to add to the offense. Although there will be pressure to add a tight end at some point. And they've signed a bunch of guys as offensive linemen, free agents, whether or not any of those guys. I think that's mostly for depth. But anyway, so I think there is that whole element of Kevin White arrives, really. He will make his debut with the Bears this coming season. So perhaps that's
Adam,
an element.
Adam and I talked last year, Adam Hogan and I talked about Kevin White when they were making the decision whether or not to bring him off the PUP list or to get him in the game. You know, and you forget that Kevin White is a big receiver. He's of the Alshon Jeffery, Brandon Marshall variety. So the idea of having White on one end and Alshon Jeffery on the other and be able to play in a slot, that's really good for a quarterback like Jay Cutler who could just, you know, chuck it up there and let the receiver go get it.
Yeah, let's hope. When you say Cutler chucking it up there, that makes I go cold a little bit. But they certainly, those two are potentially a great receiving duo. And that, but again, it is very tricky because you feel as though there is going to be a certain amount of conflict between wanting to play it a little more conservatively, bringing in these defensive players, feeling as though you've got some playmakers now, and therefore not feeling like you don't have to win it with the offense, but then having these big-time wide receivers to potentially air it out to. So,
well, we'll see what happens here. We're going to take a break. We'll get the news, and then we want to come back and get Sam Panionovich on the line. We're waiting to hear Ryan Pace is speaking to the media, and then Leonard Floyd had his press conference, conference call. The NFL draft continues. Then the 21st pick. Right now was picked DJ Williams. No, they're showing old guys. I'm like, DJ Williams, what? The 21st pick is
for the
Texans, and we'll get you to that just after the break here. It's the download on WGN. Stay with us.
With the Chicago Bears there, the team to watch. We won't stop until we got the game on lock, and we can't be stopped. Give them something to crush. Give them something to crunch. Give them a team. They go eat them for lunch. Chill. Give something to block, pulling out all the stops. Let's show the NFL how we rock.
Hey, yo, this is for my Windy City team. Now you scared?
All right. I love the team songs. You know, the rap songs about the certain teams. That's great. Jim Kaufman in studio with me. Justin Kaufman here.
It's no Bear Down Chicago Bears, let's just be clear.
It's the hip-hop version.
Better than Hail to the Redskins, though. So,
yeah.
You know,
the Redskins.
Oh, I should have said Hail to the Washington football team.
The Washington football team. The Redskins.
Speaking
just,
of which.
Just picked receiver from TCU, Dotson.
Yes, he's speedy. He's sizable.
Josh Doxson, yeah.
Yep. He does not resemble a dachshund dog in any way, shape, or form. So.
Well, it's interesting because they traded up, the Texans flipped picks essentially to pick Will Fuller out of Notre Dame, and they swapped a sixth round to get that pick, and then the Redskins pick a receiver. It'd be interesting to see what happens.
And there had been a feeling that there might be a run on receivers. This is a little bit of bad news for our man Laquan Treadwell, one of the Chicago area prospects in the draft. And for a while, Treadwell was projected as potentially the top receiver. Unfortunately, his speed numbers have not been great in the 40s that he's run. And there you start to where you really wonder if teams get a little too wrapped up in workouts rather than game tape.
Right.
Boy, it sure looked like Laquan Treadwell had enough game speed to dominate games in the SEC. And so he, the Southwest Suburban roots, by the way. Anyway, so the Treadwell is dropping a little bit. But that had been predicted to a certain extent.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously money plays a big role. But when you get into the second half of the first round, do players like a Treadwell, do they – I mean, now you're going to start seeing playoff teams. You know, you're going
well,
to
right.
you know, you're going to start getting the Pittsburgh
exactly
Steelers
right.
and the Denver Broncos and New England Patriots. You know, not a bad place to end up if you drop a couple of spots, because I don't think it works that each pick is weighted. I mean, at a certain point in the NFL, you know, sort of, I guess, union rules – you know, you're not at the point where you're negotiating like you used to for rookie contracts.
That's exactly right. It is all slotted to a large degree. So, Treadwell, of course, there's a feeling he may go next. He may go to the Vikings. The Vikings could certainly use a wide receiver. So, that's a possibility. So,
well, we'll see on that. Back to the Chicago Bears. If you're just joining us, the Chicago Bears moved up in the draft to the ninth overall pick. They just moved up to grab Leonard Floyd. He's a outside linebacker. From Georgia, a very fast, very athletic outside linebacker who has tremendous speeds or tremendous skills when it comes to speed and athleticism. Underweight is what I mean. 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", but he only weighs 240 pounds. So that's been.
Well,
the
I think
concern.
He got up to 248 or maybe 46 or say yes, but it is very much
on his if you look at I think it's Pro Football Weekly has said that the frame. He can't support much more weight. That's what they said. They said, you know, so he's not a target or a candidate to beef up 30 pounds.
Well, that's for sure. And he's also 24 years old. And,
yeah, he's older, yeah.
You would think if he was going to add weight that perhaps a little more of that process would have occurred before he was 24 years old. So,
all right. Well, let's go to Sam Panionovich. Sam is up at Hallis Hall. The Bears general manager Ryan Pace has spoken. Also, Floyd did join on a teleconference. Sam, so everything's happening up there. Tell us a little bit about both.
Well, there seems to be a united front at Hallis Hall. That's between the GM, Ryan Pace, and the head coach, John Fox. They were on the same front. They were united. They wanted the draft up, and they wanted the trade up, rather, to draft Leonard Floyd, who they thought was the premier pass rusher on the outside. You don't usually trade up until you're certain. And like we mentioned earlier in the show, they hadn't traded up in the first round since 1996. So they were confident. They saw their man on the board. A couple things fell in different directions. So Floyd was still available. And say what you want about Ryan Pace. This is a boomer bust pick, but if it booms, it's going to be a huge deal.
Well, it reminds me, I mean, I would say, and they're not similar in size, but in speed, Brian Urlacher was a ninth pick overall, that, you know, a converted safety linebacker that a lot of people were kind of like head scratch, like, is he going to fit in? He became one of the biggest linebackers in the history of the Chicago Bears. So you can't go wrong drafting a linebacker in Chicago, right?
No, you can't. And I wouldn't even liken him to Urlacher. In fact, I asked Ryan Pace, I said, how much did John Fox input this pick? Because if you think about where John Fox comes from, he developed Julius Peppers, who was a linebacker defensive end in Carolina, helped develop Von Miller, who was outside defensive end in Denver. So I asked him, what did Coach Fox have to say? Here's what Ryan Pace said.
He's been pounding the table to add these kind of guys for a while now. So, you know, we would talk a lot throughout the season. Hey, Ryan, we got to get off the field on third down. We got to get off the field on third down. We need you guys to help us in that area. And this is the type of player that can help that. So, again, add a major pass rush threat to our defense.
Wow, that's
so there's your
that's
image, right? John Fox pounding on the table.
Yikes.
Yeah. But Sam, that's a good point. I mean, one of the Bears' weaknesses last season was not being able to stop the drive, was not able to make that play to actually, you know, create a turnover or do something that changed the course of a game. The defense played okay. I mean, they were 6-10, but they need a guy like Floyd to make plays like this, and it seems like they knew this was the guy they wanted from the get-go.
Here were your linebackers last year, game one. McPhee, McClellan, Jones, and Allen. You probably don't know who the last two are. This year, you're looking at McPhee, Trevathan, Freeman, and Floyd. That is a huge upgrade. And in Chicago, they love their linebackers. They spiral this defense, good or bad. It looks like you have some pro-caliber players finally in that linebacker unit, and that's all that you can ask for because it was so porous 2 years back.
Let me ask you about Leonard Floyd. He did a phone conference call. Why is he not in Chicago? And tell us a little bit about that call.
Well, yeah, it's funny you brought that up because he was the first guy that wasn't in Chicago, and lo and behold, the draft is in Chicago.
He
and
was drafted by Chicago.
Get him. and they show him hooping and hollering in Georgia with his family. You notice there was a lot of family members, probably like 25, 30 family members.
Right.
He actually said in the conference call that it was easier to stay around the family in Georgia. It was way too expensive to move everybody up, get them on a plane, and get them to Chicago and get hotels. So it was financial concerns. Now, you think maybe the agent would have picked it up for Floyd and his immediate family, but right. He wanted to be around everybody, so that's why he stayed in the South.
Quick update on the draft, the 23rd pick. Laquon Treadwell, the Ole Miss wide receiver who has South Suburban roots here in Chicago, is now a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings.
I covered Laquon Treadwell. I was doing play-by-play for that Creek team when they won the state championship. There was one game, I kid you not, he had like seven catches for 185 yards, three touchdowns, and he also threw a touchdown. So to see a guy like that come from the Chicagoland area. Lance Lenoir played opposite him. He played at Western, not as, recruited, not as heavily in demand as Laquon Treadwell. But you're absolutely right. To see a Chicago product get drafted in the first round, that's a huge deal. It's a great kid.
He's a big body and could cause trouble in the NFC North, especially for some of the undersized corners
that's not
that
such
are
good
in Chicago.
News.
Not good news that they're going after a guy like that.
Well, going to the Vikings against the playing the Bears twice every year. But
so who's going to throw him the ball in Minnesota?
Well, that's the question, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so Sam, I mean, the overall tone of Floyd's conference call. Was it, I mean, did he seem like he was together, mature kid? I mean, was he excited to come to Chicago? Anything we need to know from that call?
Well, it was probably one of the worst conference calls in the history of Chicago sports because the house mics for the reporters were way too hot. They were peaking red, and Floyd's line was kind of falling in and out. So audio-wise, not sexy, but he said everything you would expect a draft pick to say. He's excited to be here. He feels like the coaches are going to bring him in and help him progress. He did mention that Pace and Fox had both talked to him about his frame and that there is so much room for him to add size and muscle and strength, and that's what they loved about him because, like you guys gave his measurables, there's room for weight here. There's room for him to get stronger, and the Bears are confident that they can grow him into a superstar outside linebacker that's going to get to the quarterback, bring him down, and get Soldier Field raucous.
Okay, Sam. So the last thought: any talk with the general manager Ryan Pace about what the Bears might be leaning towards in the second and third round tomorrow night?
I honestly get the sense, Justin, this is something that Ryan Pace was a part of in New Orleans. They're going to take the best player available. They don't hinge on one guy. They have their board where there are options on the table, and if they have a chance to pounce and take one of those options, as you saw tonight, they moved up to take Leonard Floyd. I imagine they have a gaggle of players they're looking at in rounds 2 through 7. Not to mention he's got two extra picks. I believe he's got eight picks now because they traded the fourth round pick. So he's still got 7 more picks to work with, and I would imagine he's going to fill needs and try and take the best player available to plug in those set holes.
Sam Panjanovic up at Hallis Hall for WGN Radio. Sam, thanks for checking in, bud.
You got it. Take care.
There's your classic. Jim, what do you think? So you bring the classic.
Very nice.
Very nice. Jim Kaufman in studio with me. Justin Kaufman here. We're breaking down the NFL draft, the first round here in Chicago, here on WGN Radio. We'll wrap it up here because, we're now to the point where the playoff teams are going to start picking. It's a little bit less sexy of the first round, but it's fascinating to me. Maybe not, as you mentioned, with the concerns about his knee, but Miles Jack is still on the board. Some other guys, the defensive Ragland and Robinson from Alabama, who are both guys at one point who are rumored to be Chicago Bears at the 11, are still on the board.
Yep,
it's surprising to me. I mean, we're getting closer. I mean, you're right. I mean, we're still, 16 picks away from the Bears' second round, where they have the 8. The corner from Houston, William Jackson III, just got picked by the Cincinnati Bengals at the 24th pick in the first round. It's interesting. There's still, like I said, about 15 picks still the Bears are going to pick tomorrow. Tomorrow's the second and third round, and then over the weekend is the rest. Saturday is just
they
the rest
it
of it. So, but what do you expect the Bears to do?
Well, Sam was just talking about how the Bears, he does, when Ryan Pace, it's so funny, there's always the conflict in pre-draft stuff between so many people making their mock drafts about teams filling needs and so many teams saying, we're not filling needs, we're taking the best player available. That's always the line, best player available. I'm always okay with best player available as long as you've done your work in free agency, which I think the Bears had done, and filled some holes. But the thing of it is, with the Bears this year, best player available was okay. It needed to be best defensive player available in the first round. I think the Bears felt that as well.
And let's be fair, best defensive lineman available.
Exactly. Well, front seven, best linebacker, front seven available. Although I think they did think a little bit about the secondary, et cetera, but I certainly am happy that there was secondary on the.
I mean, Hargrave went right after.
No, they did.
Made their mind up. They were going with the line.
Indeed.
Linebacker and defensive lineman.
Right. And in fact, if they hadn't gone for Floyd, I think there was a lot of people who felt as though Sheldon Rankins was a potential. He was the projected pick of a couple of different folks, reporters in town, et cetera. So Rankins, the defensive lineman from Louisville.
And he got picked up pretty quick.
He was not many picks after the Bears. But anyway, so first round, best defensive player available was what I had hoped the mindset would be. That is what the mindset was. Second round, more flexibility. We talked about the team. I think the team badly needs another tight end. Second round picks.
I mean, yeah. I'm trying to think in the history of the Chicago Bears. I mean, there's a lot of great second round picks. Forte, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte,
of course, yes. In fact, they've had more success the last 10 years in second round than they've had in the first round to a certain extent. So, do you see them?
I mean, the idea in the second, third round, even tomorrow, is a very important time for the Chicago Bears because you're looking at, if they don't move up, two players who are going to have an impact, who will be on the field, should be in a starting role come September.
So the pressure is on, and I think the Bears can still make a pretty good argument that there are needs in a number of places, and therefore they maintain that certain amount of flexibility. I think they probably won't be taking a linebacker, but I'll tell you, they can make a case for taking somebody in virtually any other position group. Let me ask you
about the Chicago Bears. I mean, the rookie class last season, jury's still out, but there were some great. I mean, Kevin White didn't play, so it was hard. But you did have Jeremy Langford, who showed enough to take Matt Forte's job, and you also saw some play from the safety position, Amos. But the big one was a second round pick last year, Eddie Goldman, who's the nose tackle essentially in this 3-4.
Big one in more ways than one. Yeah.
And he looked to come on at the second half of the season. Do we expect big things out of Eddie Goldman moving forward?
I think we do, and I think Akeem Hicks coming in next to him, it's great because you've got a couple of space eaters, you've got a couple of just powerful human beings, and that's just you need a couple of guys like that. If you're only going to have three guys in your offensive line, if you're going to run that 3-4, you need those guys. So yes, I think Eddie Goldman has a lot of potential, and you remember, of course, the teamwork part of it. It's amazing how much better guys are if they have better players with them, or better guys behind them, etc. So I think Goldman has a chance to be even better with better players around him. So.
I got to ask you, I mean, I guess we're beating around the bush, but Leonard Floyd, do you like him or no?
Yes, I'll say thumbs up, and I do like the Bears going ahead and being aggressive and going to get the guy they really wanted. Of course, you have to have some concerns. It's interesting. Sam seemed more optimistic about adding weight than some of the other folks we have. Mm-hmm. I think more optimistic than Adam had been. But hey, let's go ahead and take this guy. I think, like I said, upside on this guy is very exciting, and let's enjoy that on draft night.
I like that. It's draft night. To be honest, as we mentioned, Brian Urlacher and Devin Hester and Lance Briggs to a certain extent, and even Charles Tillman coming out. I mean, there was some fun when these players came out. I mean, and you saw them have great rookie seasons. I'm excited when a guy comes off the board who has athleticism that is unparalleled. So to me, I think it's an upside, and we'll obviously the judge will be what happens on the field.
Exactly, and I always say, if you're not optimistic during the offseason, maybe sports fandom isn't the right thing for you. I mean, what the heck? If you can't get excited about it, look, there's plenty of time for reality down the road a ways.
I mean, they were six and ten, it will all become clear.
Yeah, that's right. Back a ways, we were 6-10. Down the road, reality hits, and it will probably bite. But for now, let's enjoy the optimism of the offseason.
Still a Chicago Bears team led by Jay Cutler, right?
Indeed it is. Yeah.
There'll be plenty of time for complaints about that. Jim Kaufman is a columnist at BeachwoodReporter.com. Thanks, Jim, for coming in and spending some time breaking it down. We appreciate it.
Woo!
That was fun.
Wow.
I was right. I haven't done that in a long 3 hours of talking draft. What do you think? What do you think, Rob? Leonard Floyd, you like him?
Why not? Give him a shot.
Yeah.
Man, you know, I'm gonna go with what Hoag said because he's in deep with this stuff, and I'll take him for his expertise. And yeah, sure, let's go for it.
Yeah, I like it, and it's interesting because you know we're getting closer to the end of the round with the 26th pick. The Denver Broncos are on the clock, and they're bringing the pick to the stage. But yeah, we're almost done here, and there's still a lot of great players, or at least names that are recognizable.
Well, Laremy Tunsil was finally taken off
the board. Finally, yeah. Exactly.
Welcome to Miami. That'll be good for him. There won't be any problems there.
No, it's a small, sleepy town.
Sure.
They're in bed in Miami by 8 o'clock.
A little hamlet down there. Yeah.
Well, let's see what the Broncos are. I mean, they're doing the let's talk to the youngsters before they do it. But the Broncos are on the clock here in 26. I guess it doesn't really matter.
I like what Adam Hoag said about about the Bears' draft choice, the fact that he's going to fit into the system that they have currently versus McClellan.
Vic Fangio, you know, he made his name in San Francisco with a bunch of great linebackers who flew around and made a statement on the defensive side. I mean, remember those teams with Colin Kaepernick, and it was Willis and Brooks and the guy who tore his knee on the goal line. I forgot that guy's name, but they that was what they were all about. Wow, big pick. 26th pick in the first round. The Denver Broncos pick Paxton Lynch, quarterback out of Memphis. Can we be seeing a new quarterback in Denver? There was a lot of speculation about who they were going to go with this year. Mark Sanchez is there. There were talks of trades for Colin Kaepernick, but they go with Paxton Lynch in the first round for the future of the franchise, the Denver Broncos. How about that, huh?
Yeah, well, what's his name? Went to Houston, right, for big bucks?
Yeah.
The guy who was backing up
Osweiler.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Brock
so
Osweiler.
That's interesting. But you know what? In my mind, I'd rather have Paxton Lynch, who's unproven, rookie out of Memphis, who has huge upside, than Brock Osweiler. Osweiler played for a couple weeks. You know, they beat the Bears. Remember, the Broncos beat the Bears this season, but it wasn't. The Bears should have won that game. Osweiler was not impressive whatsoever.
Listen to their names. Paxton Lynch. What do you do? I'm an NFL quarterback. Well, of course you are. Your name is Paxton Lynch. Oh, what's your name? Brock Osweiler. What do you do? I'm an NFL quarterback. Well, of course you are.
Yeah, right. That's what you do. That's great. The bacon. The bacon. The bacon. The bacon sizzle. There you go. Pete Zimmerman's got the track. He's on fire tonight. It's the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right, moving on from the NFL draft to the bacon draft. I should have tried a lot harder on that one. That was not very
Don't be
good.
So hard on yourself, was, Justin. No, you did fine. You did fine. Well. It was good.
Bacon Fest Chicago is rolling into the UIC Forum this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Bacon Fest Chicago is in its eighth year. The co-founder, Seth Zurer, is here in studio. Seth, good to see you.
It is a pleasure, as
Thanks
always.
Thanks for being here. This has become a Chicago tradition. I mean, when you started out with this, I mean, was the goal for you to get up there with sort of like Garrett's popcorn? Like, what was the goal?
I think in our fantasies, that was exactly what was going to happen. When my partner first proposed the idea to me, he was like, dude, he was drunk, first of all. He said, dude, I have an amazing idea. It's Bacon Fest Chicago, the Burning Man of Bacon. It's like, that's ambitious, right? That's okay.
That's Burning Man of Bacon.
Maybe no art cars, maybe no hallucinogens, but we're going to have a lot of bacon. And it's going to be Taste of Chicago, but it's going to be everything bacon. And so that's been our beacon that we've aimed towards.
When you guys started this, was the goal, was it united over a love of bacon? Was it more sort of ambitious in the way that you're like, nobody's doing this? I mean, what was it that drew you to do a bacon festival?
Yeah, I think at first we were charmed by the fact that it was such a dumb idea. It was like, hey.
Always the best ideas. Right?
the best ideas are dumb ideas. Right. So we do love bacon. I'm a sort of big restaurant hound, and I was always involved with restaurant writing online and part of online communities. And so I was kind of the resident foodie for the three of us. And so when they got drunk, the reason they came up with the idea was they went to see a rock and roll puppet musical called Beer about
craft beer,
yeah, okay,
featuring, among other things, a puppet puddle of vomit that sang a song about how corporate beer had created it. So anyway, they went home from that show and were like, whoa, those guys love beer so much they wrote a musical. And they were all theater guys, so they started writing a musical about bacon. And they got really, really bored with writing songs about bacon pretty fast. And like, why don't we just do a party instead? So I think, you know, for us, it was like, okay, we like to eat. We know that people like bacon. We know that we like bacon. Let's create the kind of event that we would want to go to, where there's going to be chefs doing crazy stuff with bacon, and it's going to be, you know, it's an informal event. It's not like a charity gala, although
yeah,
there
I was going
to
say,
involved.
I mean, there, you'll hear like festivals, like there's Wing Fest, and there's, yeah, there'll be Hot Dog Fest and Pizza Fest and things like that. I mean, how do you differ so it's not the same sort of, because you're right, it's not, there always feels like there's galas involved or there's, mm-hmm, foundations. What does Bacon Fest do that's different than the sort of traditional fest that you have here in Chicago?
Well, number one, it's inside. I mean, I think the sort of traditional vision of a street fest in Chicago is, oh, I'm annoyed that I have to pay $7 to
sit on this
walk
curb
on the sidewalk on Lincoln Avenue.
Sit next to this garbage can.
Right, exactly. And it's, you know, everything served from a truck. So our big difference is that we brought in these, first of all, ridiculously great chefs. We've been very, very lucky that we have folks like, you know, Paul Verrant from V, Takashi, yeah, Yagayashi from Slurping Turtle. You know, Pat Sheeran has been there for many, many years. So we have really spectacular chefs that are really doing something special with the food, and I think that's what differentiates Bacon Fest. Is that you might hear Bacon Fest and like, oh, bacon, I could just go buy a couple pounds of bacon, but you, right, can't do what these guys are doing with bacon in the way that they're doing it. So
right, and for the aficionados out there, I mean, bacon, yeah, obviously, you know, yes, we are talking about the breakfast food that also doubles on hamburgers and things like,
correct,
that, but what we've seen with the explosion of pork and sort of slab cut bacon and pork belly and has been tremendous in the last decade. I mean, in the last 5 years alone, you've seen what some of the fine dining and high end chefs have done with bacon that has never been done before.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, that's what's fun about Bacon Fest. You get to discover all of that, and so you'll see somebody that we have one guy from Oak Park Marion Street Market. They're doing a pork belly watermelon gazpacho with a cheese stuffed like chili pepper. So it's like, okay, it's not just bacon and eggs. We're doing something,
right,
that's, you know, they're really transforming bacon into something fun and interesting and cool. And then, you know, you also get the good feeling of knowing that you're going to support the GCF, the food bank, at the same time that you're pigging out. So that's good.
Bacon Fest Chicago is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the UIC Forum, which is a great place right there at Roosevelt and Halsted.
Yeah, right there.
Seth Zur is my guest. He's the co-founder. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. I want to know about how you go out and select the chefs, how you get the people who are real. Because, I mean, I would think it's a rigorous deal of interviews to make sure they're into bacon, that they're not lying to yourself. Make sure they're not lying, right?
That's right. We got to vet our prospects.
All right. Stay with us.
Bacon. No, I want my bacon. I got to tell you something. Bacon is good for me. Bacon is good for me.
That Chicago's Best Balls sneaks up on me every time. Like, I'm reading it. I'm Chicago's Best. Am I supposed to read this? Seth Zur is here. He's the co-founder of Bacon Fest Chicago, which is this weekend. It's become a tradition in Chicago. It's the eighth year. The UIC Forum, that's a big place, man.
It's a big
place.
A lot
of people come out. It's already sold out.
It's not sold out.
Saturday
night may be sold out, but Saturday lunch and Sunday brunch, there are tickets available at BaconFestChicago.com.
All right, so let's get into how you get the chefs for this.
I'm afraid that you're going to be disappointed. Because the reality of recruiting chefs for Bacon Fest is, number one, a lot of chefs come back year after year.
Okay.
So 70% of the same restaurants, right, or chefs that have moved to a different restaurant. And then for the remainder, I wish I could say that we sat down in a room and like had blind auditions and,
right,
did taste tests and like walked around from restaurant to restaurant to see who treated us the best. But the reality is that we send 700 emails and we get 100 responses.
You're like, good.
Like, hey, and odds are the people who agree to do it because they know someone that's done it, or they've done it in the past in another restaurant.
They know it's a good time. But that's yeah, a big part. We talk about this on the show all the time. We talked with last night. We talked with Abraham Levitan about the music industry, mm-hmm, and about really it's this town moves because of its relationships.
Absolutely.
We talked to Brad Morris, who's out in L.A., and he said, you know, the reason he gets writing gigs is because of the relationships from Chicago. It's no different when it comes to the food community here in Bacon Fest.
Yeah, I think that's true. And if any artistic community in Chicago, whether you're a theater community, it's a very supportive environment. Is even though there's not that much, you know, money to grab on the table, people,
right,
are still very supportive about working together. And so chefs in Chicago, you know, they all know each other because they've all worked in the same kitchens. And so word spreads if they hear that there's a good event that's fun, that they're going to be able to get out of the kitchen and actually see see their friends and try out these dishes and connect with customers face to face instead of through the pass. They're eager to come. So it's we've been very lucky that we have such a great roster.
You know, you
of
mentioned
chefs.
The word fun. I mean, that's what really puts these kind of events and sets you apart from other places. But you know, how do you do that? I mean, take us back to year one, year two. You know, when you're putting on a festival, when you're putting on Bacon Fest Chicago, what are some of the things you know that you didn't think about that you're like, oh man, I really got to start thinking about this next year? I mean, how have you evolved from year one to year eight?
I think what's interesting is that, you know, instead of adding more things to make it fun, we strip away more things to make it fun. So it's like, I think when we first envisioned it, we thought, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be a multi-sensory experience. We're going to have the food over here. There's going to be a poetry slam. There's going to be a theater festival. We're going to have jazz bands. We're going to have a DJ.
Get a water slide in here. We're doing it all up.
Exactly. But the reality is that the people who come to Bacon Fest spend $100 because they want to come and try the amazing food and connect with the chefs. And everything that is not related to connecting with the chefs is a distraction. So we've been peeling away everything that's not, hey, I'm going to come in, I'm going to eat, I'm going to explore this culinary adventure, and I'm going to talk to folks, and I'm going to meet fellow bacon lovers.
Is that hard for you? You're a creative person. I mean, is it hard, you know, when, you know, you want to add wrinkles, you want to try something new, or you come up with a brainstorm with your friends, you know,
yeah, right,
with theater background. Is it hard to remember that simple wins?
It's hard, but then the reality of time kicks in, which is nice, because yeah. Then you say, okay, well, that was a really nice idea, but maybe we'll do it next year. But, you know, but it's also, the proof is in the pudding. People come and they have fun. And the more that we focus on providing a happy, easy experience for people to get in, try this amazing bacon stuff, and then get out, the happier they are. And I think so. The event has been designed around that experience, and it's a seamless experience. You pay your $100 in advance, but then when you get there, it's just like bacon paradise. Everybody wants to make you happy. Everybody wants to give you something to eat that you're going to love. Everybody wants to get you drunk. And it's a delightful experience. So, you know, in terms of our own, my personal creativity, I mean, it turns out running a business is a endless font of challenges that require right. creativity to overcome.
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of hokey to say this, but I mean, Chicago hog butcher to the world. Yeah. I mean, you're in the Midwest. This is a Bacon Fest Chicago, and it's got legs. It's in its eighth year. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
People come from all over the area to come to Bacon Fest Chicago. What does that mean to you? You know, to have an actual space where you are in Chicago producing.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot to me. I'm a immigrant to Chicago. I grew up on the East Coast, but I came out here and I think attached myself to the Chicago traditions with the zeal of a convert. And so the idea that I would create something in Chicago that Chicagoans would fall in love with and would come back year after year is deeply meaningful. It's, you know, it's like I've been accepted into the community. So it is hokey, but it's also true that it's, you know, we made something that people love, and it's become a big part of my identity. And I think about, you know, when I meet people and I say, hey, I do Bacon Fest, they're like, oh, Bacon Fest.
Oh, Bacon,
you got to be kidding me. That's amazing. So it's a great feeling. And,
you know, for you, I mean, do you see a life outside of Bacon Fest? I mean, is there an expiration date on Bacon Fest?
Oh, geez, I hope not. I mean, I love doing it, and I love meeting all these chefs, and I love all the people that come to the event. So I hope we can keep doing it forever, you know. I don't know, Wingfest is in year 23 or something like that.
Yeah, so you got some time. But, you know, it's interesting. This weekend is sort of like a culinary paradise.
Yeah.
And it's a mixed bag for you guys because the James Beard Awards are here. But that means there's a lot more people looking to experience food and food culture in Chicago. But there's also a lot more events. How do you deal with the fact that there is a lot of choice for this kind of festival or this kind of experience where you pay a chunk of change to sample chef's work?
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge. When we started, we picked April because it was a time when there was not much going on. It was sort of before summer festival season. And since we started, that idea of a vertical tasting festival has really taken off. So you have a Donut Fest, you have Poutine Fest, you have Cochon, which is very similar to our event in terms of being pork focused. There's really a lot of options out there. So on the one hand, it is a challenge, and it means that we have to be on our toes and be in tune with what our guests want to do and make sure that we're offering them the best experience we can. But also, it's for us as food lovers, it's awesome. It's like we have amazing options of stuff to do. So at the same time that I'm always like gritting my teeth, like, ah, oh, why are these people doing events the same time as me? I'm also happy that Chicago has such a beautiful, thriving scene where there's so many options of things to do.
Well, part of that scene and the reason that it is thriving are things like Bacon Fest Chicago, which is in its eighth year. Seth Zurer is the co-founder of the festival. It's Saturday and Sunday at the UIC Forum, mm-hmm. and then you sleep for two and a half weeks.
And then I have a salad, and then I take a nap, and then I hang out with my six-year-old.
There you go.
In the meantime, you should come. There are two sessions on Saturday, one on Sunday. Tickets are available at baconfestchicago.com.
There you go. Seth, congratulations on your eighth year, and thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure. Anytime.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you saw the story, I guess it was last week, that the family of Marcus Gaines was filing a lawsuit, which was about the man's death on February 7th. They're actually suing 7-Eleven because he was outside of 7-Eleven and he was struck by a car. He fell down, was face down on the street, and this was in the Loop, and nobody came to his aid. And even worse, people did come up to him and stole his wallet and his cell phone, but nobody checked to see if he was okay. And it reminded people of the gruesome story out of Queens with Kitty Genovese, which again was the story of her. She was screaming for help in Queens, and there were 30, 40 plus people who didn't do anything. They just turned their back. And it brings up the idea of bystander. And I want to bring in our resident philosopher here on the download, Al Jeany. He's a professor of business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University of Chicago. And we have this conversation about what it means to be a bystander. I mean, I'm familiar with the concept of the innocent bystander.
Innocent bystanders is an interesting concept, and the converse of that is a more interesting concept, the not innocent, yeah. The guilty bystander, the person who stands back and chooses to do nothing when something could have been done, and therefore, I think, becomes part of the dynamic of that situation and is consequently guilty for that situation just as much as perhaps the perpetrator.
And we're celebrating an anniversary. This is 52 years.
52 years ago, Kitty Genovese, a 28-year-old barmaid who was running a bar in New York, comes back to her Queens, New York flat at 3 o'clock in the morning, and out of nowhere is stalked down by an aggressor, Winston Mosley, who had no plans, no desires, just was out to see what could happen on a given night. Subsequent research shows he was really strung out on drugs and was robbing to support his drug habit, although he had a regular job, a couple kids at home, et cetera, et cetera. And in the course of a half an hour, while Kitty was trying to get across from the parking lot to her house, stabbed her in three separate incidents.
All in public.
All in public, where 38 people were aware. Well, not in public. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, so 38 people were aware of it.
But still, it wasn't in a back room.
Right. It wasn't in a back room. It was in front of the building she was trying to get in. And people did nothing. No one called until 10 minutes, probably, after she was dead. And modern research has showed up something new in a book I recently read, that she wouldn't have died from any of the wounds from the first two stabbings. Mm. She ran across, he jumped her, he started to stab her, she yelled, help me, he's stabbing me. Some lights went on, some windows moved, and perhaps even, what's going on out there? He stopped, pulled back, she began to crawl further. And then he jumped on her again and started, he's killing me, he's killing me, he's killing me. Again, more lights. Somebody did call out, what's going on there? But then
it plays to this idea of even urban living, where there's so much going on around you and so much action at all times, honks and this and yells, that you are definitely part of a community, but you're isolated in the sense
isolated,
that you don't bother.
And as some people said, some people which understood, I didn't know what was going out there. I wasn't sure what was going out there. And when Winston Mosley said, I knew no one would come out, no one would risk themselves. Mm. They just wanted the noise to stop. But it wasn't until the third stabbing that she actually died. And what we found out now, she crawled into the doorway of the building, one of the doors of the building, and somebody came out of their apartment, saw him stab her, went back in the apartment, and didn't call.
This is, beyond the idea of this horrific, horrific and world infamous case that we all know 52 years later, it really does show a lot about human.
It does. And how we get involved. Right. And what are our obligations as individuals? Now, of course, this was the one wonderful thing that's come out of this. They call it now the Genovese syndrome, is 911. There was no 911. Before, if you called the police, you had to give your name, rank, serial number, why are you calling, et cetera, et cetera. And people didn't want to get involved. So the 911 aspect has really helped. But it really brings up, as you said, the urban situation. We live in a crowded community. When do we pay attention to, in Italian, I love the word aiuta, help? help me. I need help. When do you respond to that? Are people fooling around? Are people mm-hmm. just having a fight or something? What's going on right now? Or is it a serious consequence? And I think Milligram, the famous Milligram on Obedience, said that the Kitty Genovese case brings up the element of, are we really alone in an urban jungle? Or do we have a community of others who will come to our help?
It's great. I mean, we see that in the way that news stories are playing out here in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Where you see even, you know, a shooting. And there are witnesses and nobody did anything. Nobody stopped it. I mean, people really try to go out of their way to stay out of the way.
Because if you get involved and if your name is known, what's happening, that mass killing of that family, I believe in Cicero, apparently know nothing. But did someone see something? Is someone afraid? What does that mean if you're a witness? And the notion of bystander has always been troubling to me. Elie Wiesel said that in World War II, he understood the Nazis. They were evil. He understood the apathy of the prisoners because they couldn't believe this was going to happen to mm-hmm. them. What he couldn't understand is the railroad cars in the middle of Munich full of dead bodies, and no one said a thing. No one did anything to stop it. No one even told the MPs as the American soldiers came in, look over there, maybe you'll be able to help. How you could do nothing. And the reality is, you know, I think Baldwin was right. All it takes is a good man to do nothing for evil to transpire.
Mm. It makes you think in the way that, you know, a lot of stories from the violence problem we have in Chicago
yeah.
to the politics or the political scene we have now with so much happening at different rallies we saw in Chicago not too long ago.
Absolutely.
Now, the cancellation of that rally. But all of this almost plays along this idea of, like, most people live their lives by saying, I'm just staying out of it.
Two things happen. We need cities to live. I mean, the Greeks talk about civitas. The city itself is where civilization occurs. It's only where there's a density of people you could have restaurants and theaters and you know, an exciting life rather than living in a rural setting. But at the same time, that sets up responsibilities. And mm-hmm. how much responsibilities we have for our brothers. I've seen people on the L for years and years and years. I took that green line as the way into the loop from Oak Park and seen people either both coming to people's aids and people sometimes absolutely stunned. I was stunned by the fact that no one did anything. Part of it is fear. Part of it is angst, what's going on, but part of it is I don't know what to do. But I think this notion of bystander is, whether we're in a city or with our fellow friends or coworkers, is what responsibility do we have for the community
right.
of which we are a part?
And what is the responsibility? Because, I mean, you've heard so many, I guess it's the old wives' tale that the minute you get involved, you're the one that's now on the hook.
Well, right. In fact, the Good Samaritan Act in Chicago, that was Illinois, was passed years ago. If you were a doctor and somebody went down in front of you and you administered CPR and the person died, you could have been sued. So they passed the law that said, even if you're medically trained, that you could do that to try to help. This already comes back to, I never get biblical on you, but here we go. The Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. What obligations do we have? If we don't like the Good Samaritan, we could segue to the Seinfeld story, where they're in this Massachusetts town and four of them witness a carjacking and nobody does anything. Jerry keeps talking on the phone. She tapes what's going on. Mm-hmm. The other two are talking to each other, et cetera, et cetera. And they're arrested as the New York Four who did nothing. And their defense was, this is America. What are nuns for? What's the Red Cross for? We have no obligation to help anybody else because we have the right to be free.
Let me ask you, you know, going back to the Good Samaritan,
yeah.
when we think about our human just makeup and who we are and what we aspire to be, is that a part that makes us whole? Is that it, like the idea that if we do that, we feel better about ourselves?
Yeah.
Or is it something that's just really pushed upon to make a better society around?
I think we confuse our rights as individuals and our rights as a member of a community. And we are both simultaneously. And I think that John Dewey says we have made a myth out of the rugged individualism, the John Wayne going to a territory, kill off the mm-hmm, Indians, mm-hmm. save the school marm, kiss the horse, and whatever happened there, and save the town. Yes, we're rugged individuals, but we also live with others. And by virtue of living with others, we have obligations to others. That's what the parable is about. You know, the parable is a wonderful story. The man is robbed, and the first person that comes along, he's laying in the road, is a rabbi. And the rabbi does nothing and keeps going. The second person that comes out along the road is a Jewish aristocrat. And the Jewish aristocrat doesn't want anything to do with it. The third man that comes down the road is not kosher. The Samaritan is not a Jew. The Samaritan is the lowest, almost untouchable in the Jewish society at that time. Yet he stops and helps. But it's larger than that. He doesn't only help. He brings them to an inn and says to the innkeeper, I will pay his bills on my return. And I think the story there is it's almost too much, to pay his bills. You must do something. To do nothing says that you are not part of this community.
I love it. Al Genie, he is our resident philosopher here on the Download. He's a professor of business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University. Al, always great to see you.
See you soon.
It's a Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up next, Patty Vasquez. Pretty late with Patty Vasquez. She's at the WGN Showcase Studio West tonight and for the rest of the week. Coming up tomorrow on the program here is a frying pan. That's right. Steve Gadlin, local entrepreneur, will be back with a new idea. It's been a couple weeks since he's been on with Blackhawks games. But now he's on and he's been stockpiling. Yeah, it's very exciting. He told me today that he has 35 new ideas.
Oh, how many good ones?
He says all 35. He will tell you that he's got 150, and these are the best.
Ah,
so
I believe it.
Yeah, I do too. I think this is his season. Spring, summer, the whole bit. It's his season. Absolutely. Also, tomorrow night, Jonathan Pitts from the Chicago Improv Festival. We'll talk with Steve Dolinsky about a beard preview. We'll talk about who's going to win this great category, Best Chef Great Lakes at the Beard Awards. And we'll also talk to one more of the nominees, Erling Wu Bauer, who is at Nico Asteria's, chef at Nico Asteria, which is part of the one-off guys, the
Paul Kahn,
yeah, Donnie Medea, those guys. So great show tomorrow. Kay Cannon.
Oh
yeah, Kay Cannon, former 30 Rock writer and the writer of Pitch Perfect, Pitch Perfect 2 will be here as well. So we got a great show.
Not bad.
I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm excited about next week too. Pete, you and I have been here. I feel like we've been here for 19 hours.
It
was a long day, but we were working hard on organizing next week. There's some great guests that are coming up. I'm very excited, and we can talk about that tomorrow. But tonight, it was like election night.
It was.
Even last year, we were on the air for the draft last year, but it was a little bit more like drop in for a second and we'll do a different segment. This was the first time that I had gone sort of wall to wall. Izzy Adonijé was great.
Yeah.
How
sharp.
Great was he? He's a sharp looker, too.
Mm. Mm.
Who was that, Pete?
Yeah.
Give a little. Mm.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, he was great. And I loved the he'd be really good on like some of the post game stuff. You never see him, and he doesn't do and now it's time, let's go to our panel, Izzy Adonijé.
I think he must be too busy with all his charity work and his other endeavors.
Yeah.
Because, he would be tremendous.
No, just because, even the stuff he was talking about giving insight to the way that, and I never really thought about this, but the way that a coach, the reason why you'll have an amazing defense and have the same personnel and you'll switch schemes or switch coaches and they'll not be so amazing. That always kills me because I scratch my head like, "What? How is that possible? You're athletes at this level.
Mm-hmm.
You're 10 years into the game." But it's really about putting players in the right position and matching them with what you know to be their strengths and motivating them to use those skills where you might be putting, like Izzy said, you might say, you know what, in my scheme, the defensive end, he drops back and he covers the tight end. That's not what you want Izzy Adonijé doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you know your players and your personnel, Izzy Adonijé rushes the quarterback. So that's interesting. I didn't think about it that's really the difference. So it'll be interesting with the new Leonard Floyd draft pick if he comes in.
Yeah.
And he's right away in a position where Vic Fangio can use him and use his skills the right way. So
he'll be better than Shea McClellan, as Adam Hoge said.
he started, and that the real quote of Adam Hoge's interview is he said, he goes, "I don't want to upset Bears fans, but this guy reminds me a little bit of Shea McClellan." That's where it's like, whoa, man, turn this mic off. What are you talking about? Then he went on to say, no. Bears fans, he will be a little bit better than Shea McClellan. And I think what he meant is McClellan was a pretty undersized line, or not undersized, but underweight, a thin kind of linebacker.
Adam and Sam were great.
Oh, yeah, they were great.
Adam with the scoop, Sam with the audio.
We scooped the NFL. We scooped ESPN.
Suck it, Roger Goodell.
Whatever Roger Goodell did there,
bring out more kids.
Yeah, he's doing his Connie Payton, you know, he's doing some kids out there, and then he's like, okay, let's go back to the dressing room when he was supposed to give the pick.
Meanwhile,
and he messed
Adam
up.
Hogue
and
is
so
here.
They probably give all the reporters what it is, and then it's at simultaneously, but because Goodell messed up, Twitter and Adam Hogue and everybody who's covering the Chicago Bears had the pick before he announced it on stage. That's a fail. That's my new tagline. That's a fail. I changed my. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah, it's like almost like I'm coming up with hashtags that I would just say
instead of
social media. That right there is a fail. We can make drops. So, like, it could be across WGN Radio. We could just, every show, every time something screws up, you just hit the button and it's my voice going, that right there's a fail.
Yeah, I'll load it up. But do a clean one right now.
That right there's a fail.
All right, rack it up.